What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hi, this is Smoochie.
I'm in a pretty good mood. No complaints today.
All right.
Let's get her started. Should be a good episode.
Nice.
I know, listening back to last week's, there's a little bit of... we have to find our footing, I think, without missing Mitty. I don't know. It's definitely different. I miss you, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think skipping a week, too, kind of threw us off a bit.
Yeah.
It felt like a long time.
You almost dying.
Yeah, I was still probably sick that day. Yeah. I'm still not 100%.
No, I can tell, dude. Yeah. You're like...
Well, another thing, too, is like I've got the different mic stand here, so like my chair's lowered, and I'm kind of just hunched over.
Oh, yeah, you were definitely low. Remember when I told you you were low?
Mm-hmm.
All episode, did you listen?
Yeah, I turned it up.
Yeah.
I've been talking right into this
thing. It was better after, but you could probably turn yourself a little bit more.
All right.
Yeah.
Crank it.
My mic's just perfect. It looks like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, this might be the way to go, Bobby.
Yeah, probably. This one's a little too short. Add another 2-inch.
That's what she said.
I don't even want to get into that. But right. Yeah, just a little bit longer and this thing would be perfect.
That's what she said.
Hey.
All right. We don't have any new Patreons this week, but we do want to plug our iTunes. We haven't done that in a while. Big help if you leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah, if you can't afford to give us any money, because we love money. Actually, iTunes review is fantastic because it puts our rankings up for all different podcast aggregators take most of them take their numbers from iTunes. So if we do well there, we do well everywhere. You have to download the client. You have to make an account. You have to fucking leave the review and then delete the motherfucker. That's all you got to do. I know it's a lot.
Do my favorite strategy to leave a review in iTunes. Just steal your friend's phone.
Oh yeah.
And
anybody with an iPhone.
And
you can do it. You can do it in like 1 minute.
Review because they're not doing it, so you might as well do it.
Let's do
it. They're paying. It's so easy when you're on an iPhone. I'm sorry. Yeah, and everyone has an iPhone, so just grab the first one you see and just randomly.
You've said this before. I really got to remember. Let's do this, guys. If you leave us a review on a stolen iPhone, put SIP stolen iPhone. In parentheses at some point of the thing, and we'll do some sort of contest, see how many of those we can get. That's
fucking
sick. That
would be hilarious.
Everybody in my family has an iPhone. Everybody out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Oh, this is going to be brilliant.
Like, you could get 6 in right now, Amelia.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
All right, let's talk about some games that have come to our attention this week. The first one is Atomic Heart. Now, there is a 10-minute gameplay trailer on YouTube now. This game was announced a while ago. I don't think it's anywhere near release, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh.
It kind of came out of nowhere, and it definitely has a funky, weird thing going on, man. Like,
wait, how could you see any of the gameplay through the motion blur in this game?
Is there too much motion blur?
Such an excessive amount of motion blur. It was like that moment of sobriety after waking up drunk and sleeping with somebody you met for the first time. It's just that instant gut reaction.
Do you not? It's funny because I was showing everybody that's here at the party Anthem because I think it's like show off quality, you know. And one guy was like, "Why is it all blurry on the edges?" And I was like, "Oh, that's called motion blur."
Yeah.
So, are you guys fans or not fans of motion
not
blur?
Not in games, never. No. I mean, I understand why they do it. They're going for more of a cinematic look. But if you're trying to be competitive in any way with a shooter, it really hinders you.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have some motion sickness with it too. They enable it by default in a lot of games. It's really annoying. So that's one of the things I always turn off.
Yeah. When I go into options, two things I turn off right away, V-Sync and motion blur.
Yep.
Yeah. I might leave it on if it's like, I don't know, like an Assassin's Creed game or something that doesn't, you know, I'm playing it more for the story or the experience and, you know, the visuals rather than just to be good at it.
It definitely works in Anthem, but more on that later.
Hmm.
All right, so who actually sat through 10 full minutes of this trailer?
I've watched a good amount of it.
Yeah, I watched 3 or 4 minutes of it. I love the weirdness, man. This is like Half-Life 3.
No.
That's the way I'm looking at it.
Well, a lot of people are comparing it to Bioshock. Half-Life 3? Well, that's a bold statement.
I definitely see Bioshock. I see some elements of Fallout only because of the futuristic tech and the weaponry. But outside of that, I don't see any hardcore elements being used. in terms of Bioshock-esque.
I just meant in the weirdness is what I meant. That's all. Not so like what, it's going to be that good.
But what do we know about this game? It's a first-person shooter. It takes place in Russia.
Yeah, I think Russian developers.
Okay.
But we've been fooled by those Russians before. Remember Escape from Tarkov?
Oh, God.
You know what? That's actually building up to be a decent game.
People are liking it. I mean, it's always had its following.
It's still in early access, right? So it's still got a chance.
I think so.
To become something. Perhaps.
Seems like the main enemies are some sort of robot.
That's the thing. They are the least intimidating of any AI or any robot enemy that
I've
ever seen.
These cute robots?
You might as well fucking throw, what's that one? They look like iRobots. They look like mannequins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look just like those robots.
But then the way that they move, the way I summed it up is
it creepy?
Mannequins that look like they're warming up for kickboxing class. Like, you know how there's, it's like they'll run up to you, they'll pause for a second, do a particular move. There's no fluidity in what they're doing, in my opinion.
They probably wouldn't
be,
though.
And then it's not very gratifying. It's not very gratifying beating them up because they already look
like plastic.
They're like fucking babies trying to attack you, and you can't ever feel good beating up a baby.
This is true.
You're
making good points.
Sorry, these are robot babies.
You're making good points because, it looks like you're beating up a child.
Or like a giant rag doll. It's.
But either way, this looks exciting. And unless they fucking really drop the ball, they have something here. I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, the developer is Mundfish. I'm not familiar with them.
Nobody is, dude.
Mundfish reminds me of Blowfish. Or is it Blowfish with Chucklefish? Boom. There you go.
Yeah, it looks sort of retro-futuristic. I don't know. It's got a certain style to it.
Definitely has a certain style.
Not enough sci-fi. Blood, in my opinion.
What's that?
Not enough blood.
It's hard to get blood out of robots, too.
So July 2018, they said something about a...
Uh-oh, quick time event. Warning.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have another trailer, or the game is supposed to be released in July 2018. Oh, no, that was something else. I misread something. No release date yet on this. No idea what it's going to be going for, what price.
It looks pretty far along to me.
Yeah.
But more on this later. It's exciting. I like it.
All right. Next up, Ghost Nico in Discord posted a link to Battlefleet Gothic Armada 2. Somebody played the first one. I can't remember who. It might have been Chad.
I think it was. We might have played... No, I don't think I got it. This is the one where you play the capital ships, right?
Yeah. No, you played this. I guarantee it. You played the
first
one.
Pretty sure me and Chad played it together.
Yeah.
But it was like a demo or something, and we only played like a mission or two. I don't know why we didn't keep going.
I remember this game.
Yeah, we both liked it from what we saw. But we seriously, we didn't put in more than 2 hours. And I barely remember it. He had to remind me. So I don't know. Two is going to be better. I don't know.
You know what I just realized?
The idea is great. Like to finally play the capital ship and not the starfighter, you know? And I think they must have pulled it off because the first one was a commercial success. So
was this a co-op game since you said you were playing it with Chad?
I think it's Versus as well.
Versus too?
Yeah.
It's single player?
Can we look this up? I want to speak out of turn, Bobby.
But you remember specifically.
You're talking about the first one?
Yeah. Let's talk about this one.
Okay. Do you specifically remember a co-op with Chad in this game?
Yeah, if I remember right. I feel like we played a 2-on-2.
Okay.
That's what I feel like we did. But I could be making up all this.
Yeah. Well, I assume Ghost Nico has played more of this. He describes it as if Homefront and Total War had a baby, this would be it.
Homefront. That's like a FPS, right?
No. Homefront is... I don't want to get down the rabbit hole of like...
Here we go.
Homefront. What was that game? That was... I'm getting all sorts of weird results here. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah,
one where you've... I think it's Korea that invades?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that box.
And by the way,
anywhere.
Very good. I found it very... I played it for free way later. And
I was thinking of something completely different.
Was this always a original release on PC?
Homeworld?
If this is your first episode, this is what we do. We kind of like...
We speculate a lot.
Yeah, we speculate and we don't remember and...
but
hey, what do you think about Gothic Girls, Bobby?
Random.
So $40 for Battlefleet Gothic Armada 2 comes out January 24th, 2019. So
can we get some... Can you go a little bit more, Bobby? A little bit more. There we go. Multiplayer, online multiplayer, single player... Yeah, so I'm pretty sure you can do 2-on-2, 3-on-3. Man,
5,000 people playing this game right now.
Damn.
Popular game.
Yeah.
Damn.
And this is a recent release.
Yeah, graphics look pretty good.
So Con99 confirms that the original game and potentially this one, indubitably, I'm sure.
Co-op campaign.
Has a co-op campaign.
Epic space battles of the Warhammer 40K universe.
She's saying the never mind. We're all fucked up here.
All right. Next up, Subnautica Sub-Zero. So
you're the man, Bobby. Take the lead. Charge. No errors on this one. They want information. Just pass their lines.
There isn't a lot of information on this just yet. Other than the reason we've talked about this game before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is. More content for Subnautica, except this time it takes place on a different planet, which is some sort of ice world.
Yeah.
I'm assuming new aliens on this planet, new areas to explore, maybe a new storyline as well.
And the walking. Oh, you said there was walking.
There was in the original game. Yeah. But the reason that this is being talked about is because this is going early access.
Next week.
Yeah, next week. I think January 30th. Now, they have said, I think their exact quote is, I don't want to say exact quote and then mess it up. But basically, they said, this is not running very well.
Yeah.
Like, don't get your expectations up too high. Like, we still got a lot to work through, but we want to involve players very early on, get feedback, and make this a really good game.
It sounds like more of like a stress test slash debugging.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what everybody says with early access, right? Like, the reason that we open it up is not just for a money grab, but just to get player input to make a better game. And in this case, I believe them because Subnautica is one of those few games that went through early access, and by the time it reached its final release, it felt like a really good game. Yeah. I played it a hell of a lot before, like in its beta or alpha phase or whatever, and then I played it a little bit afterwards as well, and there was a huge difference. It felt like a really good game. It's still, Subnautica is still my all-time favorite crafting survival game. Like,
Bobby, can you be a CEO, and I'm going to pitch you an idea?
Okay.
So we need characters for our game, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to first take a penguin, then they're going to be blue, almost like parrots, right? But wait, more. There's more. Four eyes, not just two, and then their head opens up at the top.
I love
it. Like a Venus flytrap,
Because that's the only what we're character looking at. That you can see here.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense because the way that penguins swim, mm-hmm. I guess they would eat from the top of their head.
There's a lot of animal. The design of the creatures in Subnautica is so creative. I really like what was the one fish we were talking about? We named an episode after
the peeper.
Yeah, yes. Where it's just like all eye. And I swear to God, there's a few ideas. I don't want to go on a rant here, but there's a few ideas I had when I was young that I swear to God have come true. All right. First of all, the Expendables. I had that idea when I was like 12 years old.
Yeah, everybody did too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's a few others. There's a few others that I can't remember at this time. But I swear I used to draw a picture of like a fish that was just like one big eyeball with like fins and stuff, and I thought it looked so cool. I'm not an artist by any means, but this is just like doodles I used to draw in like my notebook in school, and it's totally the peeper. So they got into my head somehow. They stole my idea.
Gee, did you ever get into a drawing phase?
Yeah, I doodle all of the time.
I've seen your doodles. Even. They're pretty scary.
Yeah, they're not.
Not like quality. I'm not talking shit about the quality. Mm-hmm. But you type dark stuff.
I have a tendency to, if there's a pen or a pencil in my hand, I will aggressively either click, unclick, doodle, or just draw anything to kind of keep me preoccupied. I may have ADHD.
If you're wondering what her doodles look like, if you've seen The Bird Box, It looks like the sketches in the Bird Box.
I've never seen it. So
Bobby liked it. I liked it. You just don't see
it. It's pretty good.
I just don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
Is that it's okay? not that scary. Like, I wish it would have been more scary. It's a good thriller.
It's good. Yeah.
But Sandra Bullock's always great. And they had a lot of people in that movie. What's his name? The old guy. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was good. All right. Next up.
Remember my analogy of the fighter never being the same? Bobby's never going to be the same. Yeah, after that.
Probably not. I haven't had an energy drink since I was sick, so that's cool. Changed.
Perfect.
Maybe
it's affecting you.
What if he doesn't change into a better man?
In a bad way.
What if he goes, I don't need an energy drink, I need a hottie toddy to feel better, and then he just falls back into you.
Oh, no.
The dark days.
The
dark days. a coworker told me what a hottie toddy was when I wasn't 21 yet. And I was not feeling well one night. This is when I worked retail, and he told me about this. He's like, "Oh yeah, it'll fix you right up." It was this dude that I worked with, and he's like, "I'll go buy you some stuff to make it." I was like, "All right, cool. This guy's buying me liquor. Great." So I went home and I made it, and I got so fucking drunk. And I lived with my parents too, and I remember just kind of like stumbling out. And my mom was watching TV, and she's like, "What is wrong with you?" Like nothing. And I was just totally obliterated.
Off of one, or you kept serving yourself?
Oh, no, I was like, you know, it's medicine, right? So, you know, you can't overdo it.
You had a lottie hottie toddy?
Yeah, but I was like, this stuff is great, man. Like, I feel fantastic. This guy was totally right. And I was just completely wasted. And the next day, just horrible hangover and sick on top of that. So
you could very easily be drunk on NyQuil as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to smash Robitussin and go to the movies all the time.
Wow.
Back when it had it is.
Yeah, God. What was, there were a few movies that I've seen, but I haven't really seen. Talladega Nights, V for Vendetta. So whenever those were out, those were the Robitussin days.
They were out during the dark days.
Yeah. All right, so Subnautica. I still want to beat the original Subnautica, but I'll probably just dip into this and check it out. No. I played so much in early access that when I went back and started playing it, I was already kind of over it. I ruined it.
That's my thing with early access, man.
Yeah.
It can ruin the final product, and the final product's better than... It's tough.
Yeah.
I almost didn't play the Anthem demo.
It sucks, too, because sometimes you don't know if it's ever going to get better. Like, there's so many early access games that are just stuck in early access forever, so it's like... I don't want to wait till they're done with the games because that could be 5 or 6 years.
What if that's the new pitch? What if that's just a sales and marketing algorithm at this point? Does it matter if you actually enjoy the game if they get your money?
Yeah, it's
no matter what, that money's spent.
Here's the thing. Well, the money helps development, and like I understand where you're coming from, and the people could be shysty about it, but it does help development. And then there's some bad examples out there, but there are some good examples, and Subnautica is one of those. I mean, one of our all-time favorite games, Darkest Dungeon, is another example of successful early access.
Another one that we gave Game of the Year in early access, DRG, early access, PUBG, early access. So it works from time to, you know, for some, but then other ones, it's like...
I think they just count on the infidelity of the human's mind, where they'll just simply lose interest and move on to the next thing.
It could be.
Maybe. And a lot of people
do that.
But
then why keep working on it?
But, you know, then it's kind of on the person buying the game. Like, if you're going to buy the game and not offer any feedback and be part of the early access experience, then, I mean, that's fine, too. You know, you're supporting them financially.
Financially, yeah. Mm-hmm. How often do you guys play something and actually report, like, bugs and stuff?
Very rarely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best way I've seen it done is there was a game that part of your logout procedure was it would ask you one question, and that's it. And then every time you logged out, there was just one question. It's really nice. Like, it's a different question every time.
You know what? Maybe by default, that should be something they should implement, considering Subnautica, for example, sets us up to not be happy with the quality of the game.
It was still a pretty good game in early access, though.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you are to release an early access, how are you able to get those real statistics that you're putting the game out there for, mm-hmm. the feedback. How can you guarantee
there are people that do like, but it's the minority for sure.
Very much the minority. So you're almost hearing the same voice over and over talk about certain things. So almost like the backwards influencers in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I play, I'm sorry, I have two lines on my phone. If you have a business, you can actually have a second phone number on your phone. It's called Sideline. It's an app. It's like $12 for a year, but it's great.
You got a side chick app?
Pretty much.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
You could, though. You could totally use it for a side chick.
That's horrible.
And what's good is like I have a separate ringtone for each of them, so I know the difference between a business call and a regular call.
Mm-hmm.
And
dirty business.
Every fifth phone call, it asks me, what was the quality of your phone call? Like how was everything, basically?
Okay, yeah.
And I just check it was good or excellent or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. And they're getting feedback, and I don't care clicking one thing, you know? Yeah. And that's, video games should do that a lot more. Mm-hmm. Exit.
Especially if they're selling themselves as we're releasing this to get feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't implement an option or a survey to even obtain the best feedback for their games.
One question surveys at the end during logout. Listen to us, guys. If you want the DL Gaming bump, fucking put it in there.
That's what HOTS does occasionally after games. It'll ask you, how fair do you think the last match was? How much fun did you have? Do you think it was how did your teammates communicate? Like, they'll just ask whatever these, and they used to have like a star rating and each one had like a word associated with it, but then they changed it to just these little emojis. So it's like frowny face to kind of like sideways face to just like flat line mouth face to slight smirk to happy face.
It's like a pain meter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a face with the dick in it?
Not that I know of.
No, then that would just be the most abused.
Yeah. Sucky.
Yeah.
Sucky.
Eggplant. This game is so eggplant.
I realize that I got the name of this game wrong. It's Subnautica Below Zero, not Sub-Zero. Oh. Somebody wrote it wrong in Discord. I did not mess that up. Sub-Zero, because I was like, what if they had a Mortal Kombat crossover here?
Was it Submaster?
I'm not sure who put it in Discord.
Mm.
It looks like there's a land vehicle there. Huh. It's like an enclosed pontoon boat. Cool.
Pretty
or
nice.
Like a fan boat. All right. Next up, Ready or Not.
We have about 50 things and we've gotten through two. Ready or Not is from the makers of SWAT. It's a tactical shooter. The way it looks to me is like early Rainbow Six Siege. Early Rainbow Six games. Just like very realistic.
Oh, man. I played so many of those.
Yeah.
Like the original Rainbow Six, mm-hmm. Rogue Spear.
So that's what it looks like they're going for here. Very realistic tactical movements, tactical equipment, all that stuff, a lot of unlocks. Graphics leave some to be desired from what I saw. But if you like this tactical stuff, it might be good for you. Definitely not for me, man.
I think this might be something up my alley.
Yeah.
I do like the realism. I literally feel like I could reach over, grab one of those chips, open it, and...
Yeah.
Replenish some HP, but it's nice. It looks like there's no crosshair, there's no UI even. And if it's a strategic game, is it solo or single player or team based?
Don't know. It's very early. This is kind of like an announcement.
Ready
trailer.
Or not?
It's an odd name for a game.
I know it. You say it's SWAT-esque, so maybe it's another rendition of what
SWAT 4 is online. I'm
Tom Clancy
sure.
and or perhaps Payday meets Counter-Strike meets. It looks... I've never played any of the SWAT games, but...
Me neither.
Hopefully it's decent. This is something up my alley, to be honest.
Cool.
So they really aren't giving you much information.
Yeah, it's a... What do you call it? Announcement trailer. There's not a whole lot to it. I look for more than what we're looking at, and there isn't. Ooh, look at those tiles, though.
They're just looking at the bullet penetration on this.
The anal staircase... What is that?
I think one of the...
there's a lit up sign in the background of one of these scenes that just says the anal staircase.
Oh, gosh. Wait. We saw a half second of what it actually is.
All right. There's something weird going on there. there's something more to this game. All right. So that's that's on the radar. Those are the games we're looking at. Really, only Subnautica is... And maybe Atomic Heart. There could be something there. My interest is slightly peaked on that one, but I don't know about the other two. What about you guys?
My expectations are going to stay low for Atomic Heart. I'm actually very defeated by the level of motion blur.
I'm sure you can turn it off,
but by default, it's so apparent. So is this a built for console type of game? Is this a, like, and then plus with the demo, it was very mute. There was no real appeal to the story or anything. It was almost like you were moving about the world, but with what purpose? Mm. So they left too much to question.
To kill the robots. Gee, duh. The babies. Smash the babies' faces.
Somebody had a bad experience at kickboxing class. That's how I feel about it. But no, there's... and when I say that, it leaves a lot to question or open-ended questioning. It's not even like a curious, like it makes you wanting. It's more like a, the fuck? And then you just leave it at that.
Maybe for you, I want to see what's going on. I'm curious. So maybe in the future we should... like on the radar at the end, pick a winner for on the radar, or at least say our favorite.
Well, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to do a quick little wrap up, like what seems like, most interesting out of all that.
I like the direction that you were going.
Cool.
We do things on the fly here.
All right, let's talk about some games that we have played. So Anthem, the what are they calling this? The beta, demo is out. It's going to be officially out
next month.
Next
February 14th is my guess, but I know it's in February. Maybe that's why I said 14th. Anyway, this is a big, giant, huge game. I think it's going to be one of the biggest releases of the year. It came out in January, though, so we'll see if it gets snubbed at the Game Award type things, because that always happens.
Welcome to the...
But so what is it? It's kind of like a looter shooter? It's probably exactly what it is.
Is it safe to say it's just similar to Destiny?
It's safe to say that it's similar to Destiny, yes.
But is it more fun than Destiny?
For me, fuck yes. When people were discussing this in the Hangout, by the way, our Discord's super cool. How do they get to our Discord, Bobby? Oh, through our Discord.
Yeah, dlgaming.net. You can get our Discord there. Yep.
A lot of cool people on there talking about games. This came up and I said, so what sounds more fun to you? I'm getting shot at. Let me get behind this square crate, like all the other square crates for the next 57 hours. Or is it better if you're flying, you're getting taking fire, so you cut your thrusters to drop 2 feet or 2 meters and re-engage your thrusters to start hovering and then go behind the waterfall and shoot missiles? Like, that's a basically, you're doing the same thing. You're hiding from fire. But which one's cooler and which one feels better? This one feels like you're the goddamn cyber ninja. It feels a lot like Warframe to me. It has a lot of similarities with that as far as the movement goes. There's 4 javelins. Each one is very different from the others, like starkly different. And
the javelins are the classes.
Yeah, basically, or different. Yeah,
they call them javelins, kind of like a tenno.
And basically what it is an Iron Man suit. Bobby, did you feel the stark differences between them? Did it feel like very different?
Yeah. So which ones did I play? I played all 3 of them except for the basic one. Yeah. The Ranger, which is just kind of your standard one. But yeah, they all felt very different. There was a tanky one who didn't have shields.
He has a literal shield.
Yeah, he has an actual shield that he can pull out. So kind of a wizard class who does quite a bit of damage from a distance. And then a melee class that, like, usually you think a melee class is more of like a bruiser, but he seemed pretty nimble, pretty agile, but he did a hell of a lot of damage, but he had to get up close to do it. So, yeah, they
get in, get out. He's kind of like
My question is, are the classes different enough for you to feel the difference?
Yeah. Right away.
They felt really? Like I could barely tell you the difference between the Destiny classes. I don't remember much of a difference between all of them. I think I played Guardian mostly in Destiny 2, but really you ran around and you shot people. Mm-hmm. So I haven't played very much Anthem at all, but just the little that I did play, the gameplay does seem a lot different. It seems to differentiate itself enough from Destiny 2 to be able to stand on its own feet, which was my biggest concern. So the gameplay seems a lot more vertical. You're flying around a lot more. You're up and down. You're covering large distances very quickly. Destiny 2, I remember that being a lot more of just like a cover shooter. I mean, you do hop on your bike and zip around to different places, but for the most part, you're on the ground fighting.
And the flying gets a lot more fun because their control schemes are weird. Once you get a hold of it, I'm still not a proficient flyer, but I'm getting better, and it gets more and more fun. I was playing the...
Well, it's another part of the game to be good at.
What's the fast one, Bobby?
Interceptor. The Interceptor,
yeah. So I was playing that one, and that's the most agile one. And I did this move where, after I did it, I was like, oh, shit. I think I was hovering. I took fire. I did a triple jump, fell behind the guy, and activated my melee and killed him, hit him in his critical spot. And I was like, that was awesome. Because on top of flying, you have jumps.
That's cool that you have this extra mobility, but when it comes to me, and I know Anthem was really high up on the list, I've had a very busy month, but I haven't tried it myself, but I am curious. I do have good questions. When you're fighting these bosses and you're fighting alongside your teammates and you're talking about all these cool moves and whatnot, how do you feel you contribute in these boss battles in relation to who you're fighting alongside?
So I'll give you this example of what happened. We were getting trounced by this one boss that had this like power wave that nobody could get around. And he was fucking us all up. And there was a certain point where we realized that two of the four people were dead. And we were trying to fix that.
Before. Why? Were they just shite or?
No. I've died. We all died multiple times this game.
That's good.
It was good. But at a certain point, I pulled out my physical shield. I was the bruiser. I was the tank. And I put up a physical wall in front of the person that was getting rezzed. So two people are behind me. One guy is rezzing the other guy.
Okay.
And I'm protecting them from these waves of power that's coming through.
So your unique abilities actually add and have a severe...
like a wall.
But you have purpose with your role.
Yeah, for sure. I think so. It looks like
you need to perform that particular class ability in order to defeat the boss.
At higher levels,
how challenging are these bosses? Because it's not just a...
In that way, I think it's kind of the same as Destiny 2. You're all just trying to do as much damage to the boss until they die. No one's really filling any specific roles to assist your teammates. You're all just kind of
Destiny
throwing
2
your
felt
damage.
Extremely casual in that essence, where you're all doing the same thing.
Unfortunately, that's like every game out there, though.
Tearing.
I'm really thinking that the tank has to tank.
It did seem like there was an aggro table on the boss. Yeah. Like somebody could hold aggro on him.
Usually the weak points are on their butt on most of the things that we fought. And it's like Bobby was playing by himself and I was watching him. I was like, oh, there's no way you're going to get to his weak spot because it's behind him. How are you going to, you can't make a clone or something.
Oh yeah.
So there was that. But
how do you ninja the booty hole?
Yeah, exactly. You use the ninja, which he had that game.
Go ahead. I don't know how much more you got, but I was just going to give some final thoughts.
There's a four player co-op. You go in, you get missions done. I really liked the flow. There was four games that I played in a row, and that's when I hit flow state on this game where I understand. You go out for 20 minutes. You beat the mission. You come home. Everybody tinkers in their workshop with all their new shit that they got.
Yeah.
And then you come back out and you look at each other like, oh, you got a new thingamabob there on your shoulder, huh? And then you take off and you go do it again. And every run, you're upgrading.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's little things. I got a new Nishin. Oh, yeah, cool. Well, it's better than the last one, whatever.
Okay.
So you just incrementally upgrading.
So is it a little bit like Monster Hunter meets Destiny?
I didn't play enough Destiny to know.
And I think at this point in the demo, they don't really let you play enough of the game to really understand what your overall goals are. It seemed like there was an account level, and then there were also item levels. You're constantly there's rarity. They have a rarity system. You know, you have your greens, blues, and I'm assuming there's some sort of
it's like Destiny where your power level goes up with the higher stuff that you
get. But I didn't see a power level. Like Destiny says, you know, your power level is 180.
Oh, your total one. I don't know. You know.
Yeah.
But each item does have a power level,
and that's how WoW does it too in a lot of these types of games. But that's really what's going to make or break this game, because Destiny 2, if I had played the demo of that, I would have had positive opinions until I had played. God, how many hours did I play that game? Maybe 100 or so.
Yeah.
You know, and when you get to that point, like the moment to moment gameplay is going to get repetitive, and that's just unavoidable. So it's really up to the progression systems to really tell if this is going to stand the test of time.
Lord Nico, I wish I was that brilliant. He says, haha, Iron Man Stark differences. I get it. And I was like, I wish I made that on purpose.
Oh, I thought Bobby had, I almost called you Dommy. I'm sorry. I thought Bobby had said it.
Dommy?
No, Dobby.
Dobby, whatever.
Do you remember Dobby from
House
Harry Potter?
Yeah, the house.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Hmm. I called you Dobby. It was like Dobby meets Bobby.
I know nothing about Harry Potter.
Let me ask you guys too. So you're playing Destiny, and you have your abilities, right? How many abilities do you have?
Two or three? I can't remember.
I
think there's like an ultimate.
With Destiny, my abilities?
Yeah.
You only really had two or three, correct?
So, I don't know. I didn't play.
Because with the trees that they had, you had to specify. You couldn't unlock all the abilities. You had to go down a certain tree.
Okay, there's no skill trees in this game.
Yeah. That's another thing. Really?
Yeah, but
it's all gear.
It's all gear. So, here's my question. Mm-hmm. So, you had two or three, and then let's say your E ability. Was it always the same throughout the entire arc?
As long as you respect that way, yes.
Oh, but you could change it.
Yeah, and then they had like the sub specs. There were ways to change it, but I don't think there were as many options because in Anthem, it's all gear based. So you could just equip a different item and now you have a different ability.
Nonetheless, you still felt like a carbon copy of everybody else you were playing next to. Mm.
Well, there's a lot more customization in here. There's a lot more.
And a lot more.
You can paint your shit any way you want. Like you look different. Your different equipment, whatever you equip, you can see it on their body. You can see bigger jetpacks. You can see bigger knee pads, whatever it is. I'll just wrap it up here. I'm not sure if I can say that it's going to be the killer game this year, but I liked every single thing about it, except it's a demo, so it was crashing all over the place. It's just like nuts. There's all kinds of problems.
Like when you're flying around and...
No. Once you're in, you're in.
Just kidding.
But just loading it, trying to get into a game is very shitty. Being in town is very shitty. You have to walk around. There's no sprint in town. So you just have to walk through the same hallways 50 times while the game crashes. It just gets annoying. Mm. Oh, and it looks fucking fantastic, too. Still, Star Wars is probably the best graphics I've ever seen. But this is very cool. Definitely very cool.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. And it's up to BioWare to fuck this up because they have a very good starting point.
I'm concerned because my expectations are very high. It being BioWare, me being a fan of everything they've ever produced before, but not ever making it a multiplayer element. I played the fuck out of Destiny, but I was disappointed in it.
Let me tell you this, Chi. They said that they're planning...
Well, Destiny was Bungie, right?
Yeah, I know, but nonetheless... There are so many elements that you can see that are shared between the two games.
Yeah. I'm going to make a prediction here. So this is by BioWare. They were acquired by EA. And EA has a history of just taking these developers, chewing them up, spitting them out when their games don't work. They've closed Visceral. They've closed Maxis. I can't remember the other ones. If this game is not successful, at least to EA's expectations, I would not be surprised if it was the end of BioWare. I don't know. That's my wild prediction.
You're not saying that it's going to fail, but if it does fail,
I'm saying BioWare is on the line right here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we'll see though. We'll see if I'm right.
In town, they're saying they're going to have a Mass Effect level RPG, not RPG, but storytelling inside of town. But that's just for you. And then when you go out and do your missions, that's for the group. So you have your own thing. The only thing I didn't like about this is me and Jiffy were going through the story arc, and P. Diddy or J.P. Diddy?
Yes.
J.P. Diddy had already gone through it. So he was just waiting around while we were going through the story arc. So It's almost like I would rather do the story by myself.
So it's almost like he had hit end game and the only interest he had was standing around town until he got a party for a dungeon.
Yeah.
Maybe my hopes in this is, I know it's not.
Well, you should have played it.
I guess going to be time. Well, no, I'm so scrapped. Like, yeah. If there's anything I don't have enough of, it's time right now. But I feel like I think I want it to succeed in its MMO elements. And that's where most of my criticism will be. Combat, I know it's going to be fluid. I actually enjoyed the combat in Andromeda and anything that BioWare has released. I just hope that the social community, the teamwork, you know, the team-based elements of it actually, and the need for, by the way, was there any need for voiceover or anything like that? Like the emphasis of feeling like somebody has a role to play, and if they don't fulfill the role, you know, G-kick.
Yeah, you're talking about cohesion.
Yes.
And that we were playing on normal, maybe at hard. And plus, we didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
We
but it was pretty much easy for the most part, except for the bosses that we did die a few times. But we didn't wipe. We never wiped.
Okay.
But maybe when you put it on hard, yeah, you have to start playing. Because if you get the melee guy in there, he's going to wreck shop. I think he does the most damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the tank. And then the other two, I don't know. So this is all. But everybody that I played with for an extended amount of time, we commented several times, I'm liking this. This is good.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
This is good direction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody had a.
I just hope the attraction and to replayability is there.
Let's hope.
Is there an end game in Anthem? Or is it kind of just you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm excited to talk about this game. Or mod, I should say. So, I was watching a video on EA. It was one of Jim Sterling's videos. And it was about how EA has only released two Star Wars games since they've had the Star Wars license when LucasArts dissolved, when Disney bought them. I don't make a habit of reading YouTube comments, but usually I'll scroll down and see like whatever the top ones are. Mm-hmm. And the first one was someone mentioning a mod that I had never heard of called Movie Battles. And this is a mod for Jedi Academy, the last game in the Jedi Knight series. And quickly I looked this up and was amazed that I had never heard of this before. So this is a mod for Jedi Academy, a really old game that came out, 2003 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, let me find a better video to give you guys an idea of what this looks like. it is a versus, a team deathmatch type mod where you choose a class and you can put talent points into your character and you fight against other people in lots of famous Star Wars situations, right? It's basically like the multiplayer from any of those Jedi Knight games, but they have the point system, they've got the classes, and they've balanced them pretty well. I guess you can, if you play a Jedi, which are always overpowered, right? The Jedi can use like a force push, force pull, but you can counter it as a gunner by ducking or walking. So there is some counterplay potential. The really impressive thing here is the maps, though. Like, this took me way back to the old Jedi Knight days. Like,
dun, dun,
every single location you can think of from any Star Wars movie is in here. And not only is it just kill the other team, but there's objectives as well on a lot of these maps. So the one that I was playing on mostly was...
Ooh, what's up with that choke move?
Oh, yeah, you know, that's a force power move. That's usually in there. Force choke, force throw. The map that I was playing on was the one from the original Star Wars, A New Hope, where they have to disable the tractor beam and then escape on the Falcon. So that was the Rebels' objectives. And then, of course, the Empire had to stop them from doing that. So this is a really old game. Like, the gameplay is just like exactly what you would expect from these old games. Very frenetic, very twitchy. Running around, it was really interesting the way like the Jedi. Like, this video we're watching right here sums up perfectly what I was just about to say. So like the Jedi versus like a gunner thing becomes this really weird standoff where you're just trying to get the advantage one way or the another based on the skills that you have. It's really interesting. It's a lot of fun. I don't know how much of it I'm honestly going to be playing though, because first of all, it's a mod. it was a pain in the ass to install. I had to go to the website, find the installation files. First one didn't work. I found another website. I got it. Kept running into problems over and over again, error messages. You know, after like 10 Google searches, I finally get this thing up and running. Properly.
Now that you've done the hard part, maybe you'll play it some more, no?
Yeah, I mean, I'll leave it there and maybe I'll check it out. So there were maybe...
What scene is this? I can't figure this out.
This looks like when he pushes Luke down that shaft after revealing that he's his father. Oh, this is from Phantom Menace.
Spoilers.
Yeah. But, yeah, so the hard part is over with. I may check it out. There's a good amount of people playing this. There's roughly maybe about 200 people when I jumped in on various servers, and only two of those servers had decent enough ping that I was willing to play on. It's just like the old Jedi Knight days, like back at the Net website. I remember playing. They have servers that are just lightsaber duels only.
So you're here for the settings, right?
Yeah, the set pieces are great, but the gameplay is all... I swear, if EA had released this game, but with, you know, a AAA budget,
yeah,
I think it would do a lot better, because it's got so many cool things, like the whole point system. So you choose your class. You can choose, like, you know, a Sith Lord, a Jedi, a bounty hunter, like all, and they have a different loadout, and then they have these it's not really a talent tree, but it's a point system. So you can put points into your blaster, you can put points into your health, like you can kind of customize like an RPG, like where you want your person to be more powerful, and it gives you this.
Battlefront has everything you just
and
said.
Is this,
by the way,
does it saved? Make sure
they're not completely different.
Are these stats saved or is it reset? Well,
Battlefield has that. Wait, Battlefield or Battlefront?
Battlefront.
Battlefront 2, the new one. The
yeah,
newest one.
That has like a
has
card system.
You just said, yeah.
Well, it has the classes, but I don't know. There's something kind of unfulfilling about that game. I don't know. And yeah, they do have the objectives as well. I don't know. And then they had that whole debacle about the where you have to pay for them and all that, like, or spend 40 hours grinding it.
Did you play Battlefront, Bobby?
I played the demo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I wonder if when they were creating Battlefront, I'm sure they were more than aware, if not players within this mod. So they must have implemented something.
Well, in Battlefront 2, they treat the Jedi or the really powerful, like the hero characters, as mm-hmm. a power-up as well. So if yeah. you want to play as a Jedi, you have to... Well, I don't know how it is with Battlefront 2, because that was the whole thing, right? Like, people were like, you can't even play Darth Vader or whoever. Like, you have to unlock them or mm-hmm. buy them or something. So I'm not sure. But I remember with the original Battlefront, which I played more of, not the original one from, like, 2005, but the original EA one, mm-hmm. That one you had to run and get a power up. You became a Jedi who was just super overpowered, and you'd mow down everybody for yeah. a little bit, and then you'd go back to being just like a regular gunner or whatever.
So are you able to play this mod and jump in a server where you're fresh and feel like you can enjoy yourself and you have a chance against these people who have been playing a while and are leveled up or stat heavier mm-hmm. with their equipment?
Well, you don't level up though.
Okay.
Yeah, you just choose your points, and you have a certain amount that you can spend. So it's you kind of pick the strengths of your character that you want each game. So yeah, I mean, you can jump in, and everything's available to you. This is okay. not like this doesn't cost any money. Obviously, you have to have Jedi Academy, but I will say that the people who are playing this game have probably been playing for years,
yeah,
and they know all the ins and outs, the little details, how to counter things. So it's a little difficult getting in there and just going up against people who are so skilled. There's mm-hmm. definitely going to be a curve. It's going to take a while before you're competent at this. Because there's a lot. There's special abilities that
yeah.
that you use. There's
this reminds me a lot of just community servers and CS. There are so many little things that you can mod, or even something like Gary's Mod. But Gary's Mod, I don't think, has combat. There's like no deathmatch or something. Or maybe there is. I haven't played Gary's Mod, honestly. But it looks like this is the type of game I would like. Because it's hilarious, and you kind of create your own experience, and you get to blow things up and level, like, power up.
Yeah, yourself. The modding scene was always huge in these Jedi
yeah.
games.
But I just wish I knew about this.
It sucks that we're
when it was
away from
extremely
that
relevant.
These like AAA titers that you can't mod anything.
AAA taters.
Yeah,
yeah.
It sounded like that's what it said.
So I got a question about Battlefield or Battlefront, because yeah. I played a lot of the first one, but not the second one. So in the mm-hmm. second one, you have to somehow unlock the Jedi or the Sith or like those lightsaber characters.
But you don't get to pick them anyway. You have to.
Those are the power ups that you get.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like calling in an airstrike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like in Call of Duty.
But there's already, like, so you come with one built in. Let's say you get to be Han Solo. Mm-hmm. But then you unlock the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
They tone down how much you have to do to get them.
Yeah, I heard that they improved that after everybody complained.
One of the, I like that you said bounty hunters because, goddamn, there's some bounty hunters that are so fun. Greedo, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a beast.
The green guy.
Yeah, he's a beast. Really fun to play.
Yeah. So yeah, movie battles. I recommend it. It's actually more than anything. Maybe want to go back and play one of these Jedi Knight games. Probably,
Probably two, or maybe
yeah, Outcast or Academy. I haven't played in a while. They're all good. They're all great games.
Bobby, well, we'll talk about it later. I want you to get Premiere.
Premiere? Yeah, I don't know if I'd use it.
Star Wars, Anthem, Battlefield 5, like the list goes on.
But only as long as you're a Premiere member.
Well, I had it before they had Premiere. I had the other one. I had it for a year, and I used it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, if you count up the hours of gameplay that I had on it, and I think if I had it, I just don't know if I'd use it.
It only takes one. It's worth it to be, two for it to be worth it. Like if you play Battlefield and
it's not the price.
Try Battlefront, you know, as a Star Wars fan.
Yeah,
Battlefront 2.
Yeah, I played the demo.
That was the demo. It's come a long way. The starfighting is out. Jiffy was saying it's his jam now. Like the starfights are, that's what he does.
Yeah, the vehicles are cool in that game.
Yeah. Anyway. No, like it has its own
Just load up into the star or into the spaceships and fly around.
Yeah,
I remember playing that and actually was surprised that it was so easy because I know in Battlefield
the Warlock vehicles, says you can play Peggle with it too, which is true.
I already have Peggle on Origin actually. One of them.
All right.
We forgot to talk about this last week. I forgot about it because we missed a week, but Awesome Games Done Quick took place early January or mid-January there. That's the...
We talked about it.
We talked about it when it was coming up, but we didn't talk about it afterwards.
Okay.
So they raised about $2.3 million, which is a little bit more than they raised last year. I had no idea they were raising that much. Like, I figured these things ended around $1 million or so, but $2.3 million, geez.
By the way, Bobby Watches Them All has never donated a dollar. Just saying.
No.
I've never donated on Twitch ever. I don't even really know how.
Yeah.
I think you click a button and it sends you to a thing, and I don't know. Figure it out one of these days.
By the way, our Patreon is on our website.
I don't know how Patreon works either. So they raised a ton of money. They had a bunch of good runs. A lot of them I'd seen before. I rewatched. They had the same guy, the Mexican runner, doing Cuphead again. That's a great one. I mean, not as great the second time around. I watched it during the summer one and was very impressed with it. Mm. There were a few other good ones I checked out, but a notable one, I did not see this live, but I saw an article about it on Kotaku. So one runner actually failed his run, and it was Divinity Original Sin 2. So I read the article here, and apparently what you have to do in this, in a certain build of the game, is you have to get something called Death's Fog, which kills everybody who's not a skeleton. So you have to have a certain amount of these to be able to get through the speed run in time. And he reached a point about 18 minutes into the game and realized he didn't have enough of these. And it was at this, he hadn't saved either. He didn't do any sort of safety save. And it was at a point to where if he had restarted, it would have taken too long and cut into the time of the person coming up. So it's the first time that I can really recall.
Awkward.
It's the first time I can really recall where someone hasn't completed the speed run. But still, I mean, I guess it was impressive up to that point. I would have loved to have watched that. They do have on this Kotaku article linked at the bottom where he's done it just like on Twitch or... Yeah, okay, there's the world record, 30 minutes, 45 seconds that you can watch there.
Wow.
I spent more time in character creation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably also... using bugs, right? Or whatever they call it, glitches?
Well, it's a certain build of the game, so they patched a few things, but the key thing to it is the Death's Fog. So if you use that, you just automatically win a battle, right? If they're all human, unless you're up against skeletons. So I imagine that that really helps. Yeah.
So could he have saved his own ass
by saving?
If he had actually saved.
Yeah, which doesn't add anything to a speed run, right? It doesn't cost time to save.
Yeah, and he commented on that on Reddit afterwards, just saying he wasn't thinking. Yeah.
He's probably nervous. Dude, anytime anybody critiques people like putting themselves out there, it's fucking tough, man. It is tough to
in front of a crowd like that. Yeah. On, you know, who knows, like 150,000 people watching online. Yeah. Dude. There's
like we deal with here.
Yeah. Yeah, with our 15
Everybody viewers. Out there is getting fucking wasted, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Sam's cross-eyed right now. It's her first day off in like 7 days. So.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, game's done quick. Always a good time. The next one is coming up in July. I think they do it January and July. So it's fun to go back and watch it, but really just being part of the live event is much better.
Cool. I played more Book of Demons. I reviewed this, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It's a Diablo, not a clone, because it definitely has its own vibe. Very linear. You know, you can only go down a path, even though the dungeons are random, I think. I'm pretty sure they were random. And the loot is card-based. You know, you get three of the same... No, you get these upgrade cards, and you can upgrade your gear. I wanted to say that I'm getting close to Diablo, or whatever they call their top guy. For a week there, I was playing just the roguelike version. The roguelike, so the difficulties are normal, hard, and roguelike. And roguelike, it's like, there's no rules. Your first item that you get might be a level 15 item. You're level one. You're just fucked. It's completely random.
Oh.
So who knows? You're just relying on luck if you're going to get good shit. And plus all the stuff that helps you out in the regular game, not there on roguelike. There's, I don't know if you saw those red fountains, guys, but that's where you heal yourself and mana pools like that, right? Mm-hmm. They refill after like 2 minutes. And roguelike, they never refill. If you get an item that gives you one hit point every 3 seconds, it only happens within combat and roguelike. So it's really hard. It's really hard. So I was playing roguelike for a while. And what's cool is on your first life during the roguelike, you're on the leaderboards. For the roguelike leaderboards. And so like if you do really well on a run, you're going to be really high on the leaderboards. It's 9 out of 10 on Steam. Thousands of people have bought this. I can definitely recommend it. I think I bought it for $10, but I think it goes for $20 regularly. Oh, and there's a Steam sale coming up. It's $24.99.
Yeah. Steam sale coming up, the Lunar sale. They leaked the dates, but I can't remember what it is.
If you like Diablo and want something a little different, fucking, I can definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I would probably love this game. And I, for some reason, even though I enjoyed Diablo 2 and Diablo 3, it just never lived up to the level of fun that I had with the original Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when Diablo was just a beast of its own. It was its own kind. There was nothing else on the market.
It was the first in the genre, I think.
Yeah. There's nothing else that compared to Diablo.
Was Diablo the first dungeon crawler?
Probably. I don't know. There were a lot of isometric games back there.
Yeah.
I don't even think we had that
Ultima,
term.
But I don't know if Ultima was out first.
Well, they had those No Remorse games, I remember. But those were different. Those weren't just like hack and slash where you just run around and kill a bunch of stuff.
Oh, it was mostly all single player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to make this point, and I keep forgetting before. It really works on your clicking skills. There's a lot of things you have to click on. Not like an RTS where you got to be crazy, but in order to be, when the shit goes down, so you have to like as you fight, hearts might be falling on the ground. So you have to run your cursor over those to pick those up to heal yourself. But at the same time, you have to click on their shields in order to break their shields, which is a little icon on top of the monster. So you got to make sure you click on that. And then you got to click to, let's say, heal yourself. You got to go back over on the left side. So there's a lot of it feels like skill-based more than Diablo. Diablo, you're just clicking... I don't know. You get your, what is it called? Your rotation down in Diablo, and you just do that rotation. Mm-hmm. This one is definitely circumstantial. You might have to do this. You might have to do that. You get knocked out. You have to click those stars because you're literally knocked out, and they're eating you, and you have to, put your cursor on those stars and try to catch them to regain your consciousness.
It's like watching Looney Tunes and you see the stars hovering around.
Mm-hmm. They did a real lot of stuff right here. They made a lot of right choices, and they even did some new stuff. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
And here's the thing. Diablo came out years and years ago. What, 15? 16 years?
The original Diablo?
Yeah. 20? 20?
So why Late not 90s. Play something that plays like the classic but isn't?
Yeah.
You're selling me on this game now, but cool. I have too much on my list.
It's good for streaming, I think.
Oh, it would be.
Especially
would be
the roguelike mode.
Is there pause?
Yes.
Uh-huh. There is? Mm-hmm. Diablo does not have pause.
I bet it does.
1996 was when 96. The first Diablo came out.
That was a good year.
96? Were you born yet, Chi?
I was. My little brother was born in 96. I'm an 88 baby.
So. Okay. 80? Oh, you were born in the 80s. Okay.
Yeah, I'm an 80s baby.
Are you an 80s, Bobby?
Yeah.
I'm 70s.
Damn.
You are?
Yeah. I'm 78.
Shit, that's when Star Wars came out, dude. You're as old as Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's insane. I'm reading the biography of Steven Spielberg, unauthorized biography. The guy was very clear about that. and it's so weird to read about like that. I'm reading like exactly in that point of time, like late 70s. I'm up to, I think, Temple of Doom right now. So I think I'm at about 84.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's so weird how like Hollywood was back then.
Bobby, is it no doubt that that guy's an absolute genius, or is it like, do people question whether or not?
Spielberg?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, dude, don't ask me these questions. I'm reading the biography on the guy. Like, I could literally talk for 20 minutes, but yeah, he was.
Is he like a hero of yours, would you say?
I like Spielberg. I like a lot of his movies, but he hasn't really made much recently. And,
he's old as fuck, dude.
Yeah, he's 72.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's in a producer role now, but. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's made some of the best movies out there, but him and George Lucas and all those movie brag guys, like, they really pushed for special effects. Like, yeah. I think that's the reason that, Industrial Light and Magic, obviously, but like, that's why we have so much of our movies are effects driven now, which, some people could argue if that's good or bad, but like it or not, that's what's making the money, is just, superhero movies with lots of special effects.
So yes, obviously. Like, whatever sells the best is the right answer, I think.
Well, I don't know. It's like, just because everybody and goes one sees, like, there's appealing to the masses, but there's also,
No, that's all there is.
The masses. Yeah. I think the Oscars might have something to say about that. But
that's true. Oh, Black Panther is nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, I heard. I don't think there's any way it wins.
No, but very interesting that.
Well, there was a debate whether or not they were going to create a new category for
superhero movies.
Yeah, well, not for superhero movies, but more or less, yes. They called it something else, but it was always a problem because these superhero movies never really got nominated for much. Maybe for like visual effects or like sound design or something, but never for like Best Picture. So they were thinking about, and they've thought about making new categories before for like mocap performances, like Andy Serkis. Like, how does that guy not have any sort of recognition?
Yeah, for sure. That guy's so talented.
Yeah.
Avengers, God damn it. Infinity War. Yeah. Would that be within this circle of, like, I thought it was a much better, I think most people think it was better than Black Panther, but
would Thor Ragnarok be a part of this?
That was a really good one too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's like three superhero movies that I like, 'cause I just don't like a lot of them, but Thor Ragnarok, I did enjoy. That, I've only seen one of the Captain America movies, the first one, but I really like that one.
Yeah, that was good.
Because every other movie is just, I know everyone says this, I'm sounding like Bill Maher here, but they all just seem the same to me. It's like somebody gets their superpower, then like they let it get to their head, then they have to get grounded, get back to their roots. And
that's why Spider-Verse is so good.
It's always I want to see Spider-Verse.
That was the story of redemption.
But remember, I just listened to the episode, so I remember what we said last. Mm-hmm. You were like so down to see Spider-Verse. You should go see it.
I want to.
Yeah.
I might have to take myself to the movies.
Stop getting noise complaints and go to the movies.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out. I've heard so many good things about it. I've been watching a ton of movies lately. Been cutting into my game time.
You've been watching with your girl?
No. I mean, I watch movies with her a lot, but I've been watching movies at home, which I never do.
It's
like, I've just been sitting on my couch.
It's a chain reaction from that Westworld DVD.
No, I think he's been sick. And so,
yeah. The sickness changed me.
Yeah.
I'm a new man. I'm not drinking energy drinks.
That's a good move, dude. And you know what? You're probably going through like some sort of like lull for not having energy drinks right now.
Yeah.
Well,
I've done it before, but not for this long in a long time. And it's like the first 2 days, yeah, bad headaches, totally. And then kind of like tired, but I can fall asleep super easy. Like I get to bed on time, no problem. But yeah, I don't know. Eventually I even out because you drink so many of those things and it just kind of,
it
doesn't even affect you anymore.
Yeah.
You don't even really notice it except that you're awake and alert.
Yeah. Speaking of movies and watching them, I did play, I say play, the new Black Mirror release.
Oh, yeah,
on
Netflix. I would say, okay.
But Bandersnatch,
yeah.
The movie?
Mm-hmm. Let's
I heard some weird stuff about
nail
that.
Nail this down for right now. We're watching it, right? Because you're reading.
You don't just watch it.
I get it.
It's one of those.
It's choose your own adventure.
Choose your own destiny. It's just like that one.
But you wouldn't say you played it.
That Bobby played.
Played sounds weird.
We did watch it, and I didn't feel like I had much control either over the options just by the way the writing went. I had no idea. I was just looping through the different endings at one point. There was just. I was not impressed by Bandersnatch. In fact, I was tilting.
Yeah.
Because.
Wait. Did you find a way to rage quit a video game?
No, but like I was just churning the towel dry in regards to why do I feel like I'm constantly failing? But I didn't, it wasn't a like perpetual dead end, but it was because I was at the end of the movie and they were just reopening my options to see the different endings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So instead of feeling like I was getting somewhere with the movie, I was just seeing all of the different endings that didn't even necessarily feel like endings. So I'm not thoroughly impressed with Bandersnatch.
Nobody was blown away from what I heard.
Yeah.
But I do like the direction. I think that might even be the future of a lot of programming.
Really? Nope. They did that shit like back in the 80s and the 90s, I remember. My mom had this one game where it had like VHS tapes and cards. I think I brought it up on the podcast and we looked it up before too. But it was like a choose-your-own-adventure type thing. Like they've experimented with that before, at least in home entertainment. Not really in movie theaters.
DVDs had it a lot too. Even a porn that I used to watch had choose-your-own-adventure, yeah.
And here's the thing too. I was huge on the R.L. Stine books, like Goosebumps, Choose Your Own Destiny.
Oh, you remember those as Choose Your Own Adventure, though? That was like later in his series. Like, dude, something's breaking out there.
Yeah. They're drunk as fuck. Dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's kids, there's dogs, there's alcohol, there's shrimp, there's ceviche.
No, there's no shrimp. I tried to eat a shrimp.
Oh,
there's no shrimp to be had.
Oh, they're all gone. But yeah, what were we talking about? Choose Your Own Adventure, R.L. Stine.
So
I read so many of the R.L. Stine books.
So me and Sam are big fans of Black Mirror. And I said, Sam, you know, we should watch Bandersnatch. It's Choose Your Own Adventure. I think it's new to Netflix. And she goes, Mila watches something on Netflix that has Choose Your Own Adventure. She's done it 50 times already. Like, it's definitely not new, even to Netflix. Mm-hmm. But for something big, like.
Do you use your remote? I didn't know it was a Choose Your Own Adventure thing. The Bandersnatch.
I use my mouse.
Oh, use your mouse?
Because you watch it on your computer?
Yeah, I watch it on my computer.
Huh. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. Like I don't like the choose your own adventure. I'm like, why am I doing your job? All right. You pick the direction of the movie and
but you're squashing my number one thing that I say what because people say what
because do you play the viewer wants games? Agency in the world. Yeah, but I don't
why do you play video games? Because I want to be the guy. I don't want to watch the guy.
Yeah, but I don't play video games for story, though.
All right.
But that's just me.
I feel like Bandersnatch fell short as a movie, and it felt short as an interactive.
Failed at both instead of being good.
Or even as a quality Black Mirror episode. It was like one of those Black Mirror episodes where you're like, it's like, watch season 4, but don't worry about this in this episode.
I try to come up with my percentage. I think 15% of Black Mirror isn't good. Would you agree?
On average, at least 2 to 3 episodes per season.
Well, the first one only had like 4.
Yeah, and the first episode almost deterred me completely away from the entire series altogether. Yeah. So
I always tell people, first time they're going to watch Black Mirror, skip the first one until you...
Exactly, ditto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Skip Bandersnatch. Choose Thy Destiny.
I don't even like that name. What's that name about, Bandersnatch?
It was the name of the book. I suppose, I don't know if it was a real book or a fiction book.
I'm pretty sure that...
fictionalized book, I don't know.
Whatever Bandersnatch is, it played part of me being... What do you call it? When conceived?
Bandersnatch?
My brother.
Oh, my gosh.
My dad. My brother. My dad did a Bandersnatch on my mom.
Honestly, they should have just named that episode, instead of like Goosebumps, freaking Duck Ridges.
Okay. I don't know. We haven't watched it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
All right. Battlefield 5.
Very quick. They had a huge update. For a casual player like me, it wasn't enough to know, to see huge differences, but it was like 42 gigs. And I found this interesting. The patch came out the day after the download. So you preloaded the download and then, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how battle.net does it. All those games in there.
That's good then. I like that better. That way you're not stressing the servers with mm-hmm. people playing plus people downloading. So, the biggest thing that I saw is the new 16v16 conquest. Not a lot of, no vehicles almost. Maybe one tank per team and a lot of just like ground fighting.
Ooh, I'd like that.
Yeah, I like it. It really lets me get my shotgun skills. I try to, any game that I play, I try to force the shotgun. Like I really feel like I'm a shotgun player. And so there's this new shotgun that they put on the LATS patch. You guys don't play it, so let me just tell you what keeps a lot of people going. There's so many like little missions it puts you on. Like, let's say, res 5 people without dying for the medic, stuff like that.
And then you unlock certain weapons.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. Not usually weapons, usually just like cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
But you always feel like you're doing something. Like, even though you're just playing the game.
Perpetual progress.
Yeah, perpetual progress forever. Because every 2 weeks, I think, a new one comes out. And it gives you 2 weeks to get all the good shit.
Imagine if Battlefield 5 had an actual ranking system of some sort. Some competitive...
I don't think you need it because you have so many players. You have 64 on per team? Yeah, 64 per team.
Can you imagine, though? I know there's a lot of players, but what if you can actually get into a battlefield where it was... Like the way CS does it.
I mean, they can't even matchmake properly in a 6v6 or a 5v5 in MOBAs. You know, trying to matchmake 64 versus 64.
Tenorship. How about hours played, certain achievements unlocked in order to get past that certain threshold? I would be more interested in Battlefield if there was more reward through not just cosmetic. I'm over cosmetics. Okay, as a girl, that's funny saying that. But when it comes to shooters, cosmetics are not an incentive for me.
Except for your $600 knife that you haven't sold.
Yeah, but I'm not playing the game to unlock loot boxes. I'm not like, oh, I got to play Counter-Strike because the more I play, the more loot boxes will drop. Yeah.
You're not cosmetic driven.
Yeah. For me, it's more of like, how will my experience with learning the game, getting better at the game, actually be re-implemented and challenged? How do they keep a perpetual challenge? And how do I feel like there's progression when it is more or less just a repeat of the same exact map, the same exact potential possibilities, and what makes it better and what fixates me to it? It's basically my CS formula, what keeps me addicted to this game since the beginning of PC gaming for me. And I think Battlefield itself is one of the most promising games that could do something like that.
It's true.
You could go into, like I said, just maybe a particular achievement that, you know, makes you more versed in the game and then pins you up against other like players. Who wouldn't want a bigger challenge like that?
Yeah. Probably still no interest, huh? No premiere for you still.
No,
I can't sell you on this.
Maybe I'll catch Battlefield 6.
Ah, jeez.
I forgot that I even owned Battlefield 5. I'm sorry. That game, like,
Dude, Call you don't Duty. Know how much Battlefield 2 and Vietnam. Oh man, Vietnam played so much of that game.
That's probably my favorite one.
Vietnam was great. They redid it in Battlefield 3. Had a Vietnam expansion.
The soundtrack was fucking sick.
Yeah, the sound. You had to have the CD in for the soundtrack to work, but you would change radio stations, and it was all like they licensed so much music for that. It must have cost them a fortune. But like Creedence Clearwater, like all the hits.
I have a question. On Pandora, I was trying to like put Vietnam era. Like I want to hear Vietnam music, Vietnam era classic rock. So I put that in, and it doesn't work. Does anybody know how to, like, get a soundtrack of the Vietnam, the ones that are associated? If you can, let me know.
To the actual
I'm sure there's got to be a Spotify playlist, or just look up the soundtrack to, like, I don't know, Good Morning Vietnam or Platoon.
I know a lot of good old Vietnamese karaoke.
Okay, thanks. That's what I was looking for.
My dad, like where they took actual songs like Hotel California, but translated it into Vietnamese.
What is Vietnamese karaoke?
Oh, you don't want to hear me attempt to be Asian.
Let me hear it a little bit. Whatever you can say, like a phrase.
Your daughter wants to shit.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Your daughter would like to shit.
If you guys don't know, Vietnamese is a tonal language, so every word has six meanings depending on what
I think I said that right.
The way
I
hope you say it.
Was that half Vietnamese, half Laotian? I don't even know anymore. So
somewhere, somebody is offended, so we did our job. Bobby, what's next?
Everybody should be offended by how fucking horrible I am.
The Witcher, real life story.
Yeah, so... this happened 2 weeks ago. I just keep forgetting to tell this story. I run with Jocko now. So that's my dog. And it's cool. We have a really good run. Like we're both, we like the same pace. So it works out. Anyway, so I'm running, about to go on my usual route. And this guy pulls over and he has a dog in his truck. Mm-hmm. And he pulls over right next to me the opposite way, which means he was on the left side. He pulled over like, he had to turn to come talk to me. And he's like, hey, man, are you going that way? And I said, yeah. And he goes, don't go that way. There's a loose pit bull and it bit a woman. And I swear to God, guys, because I had just put 88 hours into The Witcher. My first thought was, let's talk about my coin. Like, how much is he going to pay me to go slay this fucking, this pit bull? Kind of like when people play GTA, they talk about like, oh, what if I just go take this guy's car or whatever?
Yeah.
Same thing. I was like, my first thought was, let's talk about how much you're going to pay me, you know?
This could have been a really good Bandersnatch scenario too.
Yeah.
Where choose your own destiny, continue down the path.
Right.
Or avoid the path.
Yep.
So what did you do?
Had I been alone, I probably would have tried to go help the lady, but since I had my dog, I didn't want to put him at risk, so I went the other way. Yeah.
What was that game I talked about?
That would be Jedi Knight.
No, I talked about it. This is a couple months ago. It was a choose-your-own-adventure game.
It was a movie.
It was a movie that they filmed a bunch of scenes, and you choose what you want to do.
You liked it.
It was pretty good. Like, I was pretty impressed with it. I've never seen it done so well.
I don't remember the name of it.
Me neither, and I'll never find it like this.
Production value.
It was like a one-word, two-syllable game movie.
Yeah, it was like the something. I don't know. I'll have to search for it later.
You can't find it in your 8,000 games?
I don't know if I still have it installed.
Just look at your games played. Oh, we know.
I don't know.
Can you talk about Resident Evil 2?
That accurate?
Yes. Oh, so Resident Evil 2, I think we had a listener question regarding it as well. I didn't have much time to play video games, but I swore to myself I was going to get some content in before recording this podcast. So I did load up my stream after a month of being MIA for less than an hour and to play Resident Evil 2. And huge shout out to Chosen 13. He had gifted me the game, and because of that, we made a pact that I would stream every moment of it. When you load up the game, you either choose to play Claire's story or as Leanne's story first. And by default, I definitely wanted to do Leon first. Because Leon, you got to play him in the demo and everything else. So I've only played the first hour, and everything is super impressive, even more so than what I could take from just watching the demo. And I didn't realize that I didn't watch the full demo beginning to end because I had a couple moments of jump scares. I love that this game, yes, it is a more modern combat Resident Evil. So when you're moving through the game, I know I kept on name dropping Resident Evil 4, but it maneuvers a lot like Resident Evil 7. But it's just that your setup is completely different from Resident Evil 7. You're actually a lot more exposed to zombies. There's a lot more going on around you. And whereas in Resident Evil 7, you really only had to worry about the boss. You had to worry about daddy, mommy, Lucas. But in this one here, you know, you're constantly on edge for like the one zombie or the dead body that could potentially be a zombie that's going to wake up and attack you. I am loving it so far because it's modernized Resident Evil, all the good elements of in regards to mobility. Some people are upset that it's not the classic structure of Resident Evil, but I'm not mad at that. In fact, I embrace that it's a better combat system, but it stays true to the nature of classic Resident Evil. And I mean that in terms of puzzle solving, difficulty, limited resources, and overall appeal to character and story. It keeps you vulnerable at all moments. But now it has more jump scares than what the classic Resident Evil games had. And because graphically they're able to do that, timing and pacing and everything else, it's just a fuller immersion into this post-apocalyptic world, even though it's a tried and true storyline. But you can't go wrong with starting this game up. This game is probably going to be a top contender for me for top games of 2019. What about the fun factor, Raconius asks? Yes, absolutely. not even an hour in, I probably played 45 minutes of this. I had scared myself enough and screeched enough to the point where I was just about to piss myself. I had to stop the stream.
You got re-scared on old jump scares, or it's new enough?
These are new jump scares. Mm. And I was just saying how back in the day with the polygonal, you know, dimension and the fixated camera from a further just watching this trailer is just making me all
the original game came out in 98
96. Bobby, this seems to me like the perfect time for you to jump in.
You have to, Bobby, please do. Would you kindly family share with me? Wait, we're a family share. You can play one of my games instead of me.
I don't know if I have your library shared with mine. I think if I were to get into the series, it would have happened with 7, though, right? Like, that was a good game.
Yes and no. This is more Resident Evil to its roots. Resident Evil 7, what I recall from talking about it.
So it's before, a lot harder.
It was a transformation of the series and a good one. Mm-hmm. This one here, it takes a lot of the good elements that they did with 7 and reintegrated it into what they're classically known for. So it's where they should have picked up from Resident Evil 4. So it's,
I have no nostalgia for these games, so it'd be a tough sell for me.
You don't need nostalgia for this game. This game is so fun. I don't remember, this game came out over 10 years ago. What, I don't remember anything.
Bigza, how much is it?
It's $60. I don't remember, I don't remember anything about the classic RE2.
Look at the reviews. 6,000 people overwhelmingly positive.
Oh, God, it's so good, Bobby. And here's the thing. One thing I can say out of the first 45 minutes where the game is supposed to be its easiest, I can say that with this game, it is not just run and gun, shoot everything. Everything is lined up. Like in a lot of other shooters, everything is lined up where you can always get through to the next. No. You know, it's like
pick and choose.
Smart planning. Here, you have to pick and choose your battles.
It's a lot about management strategic of your inventory.
Yeah.
Yeah. You only have 17 bullets and there's 27 zombies. Yeah. So you have to pick which ones are the important ones to kill.
I ran out of bullets the opening fucking tutorial, like the opening scene. Yeah. I ran out of bullets, and they put me in situations where I had zombies pinned up against me, but I had no bullets. It's not like they restart me with magically, you know, like with like a new fucking clip. Like whatever I used, I've used. Yeah. I've wasted. I even threw away a quest item because and once you discard something, you can't get it back.
What?
So you can really screw yourself over. Wow. I didn't. I knew I didn't need it anymore, but it's just one of those things where like the
realism is there. How effective is the knife in this one?
So far, it's very much like a classic Resident Evil knife. I haven't used it enough.
Like 15 it's a lot slices.
Of hacking. It's a lot of hacking and slashing. Leon doesn't stab enough, but I do know that you could stab someone and you have to loot the body to get your knife back.
Wow.
You could literally walk away from your own knife.
Damn.
That's what I love about this game. It is, and you know, I love challenging games.
Yeah.
When I watch someone play the demo, there he was shooting a lot of the zombies, killing them, and just taking his time, like re-killing them and wasting his resources. With me, I kind of saw that he was doing that, and so when I played it, I was like, okay, how can I actually just run away?
Yeah.
How can I just use one or two bullets at most and then pull out my knife and finish the zombie?
Yeah.
And in fact, that's how I used to play Resident Evil I was younger.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you could get through the game. It's like, is this a fight or flee? Is this a, I need to like unload?
It's a calculated.
Yeah. Do I need to unload into the zombie in order to survive? And then like, not only that, like it's just so graphically like
superior.
Superior. And so very early on, one of the first zombies you ever really fight, you could waste three bullets, shoot him in the head, or you could see him literally crawl over a desk. Like, zombies used to not be able to open doors, crawl over desks, or work with the environment around you to get to you. In this game, they do. It's pretty intense.
Cool.
Yeah, I love
it. I'm glad that it came out well.
It's like Resident Evil 7, but with actual zombies.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm kind of excited.
Well, you've already answered this, but I want to read the listener question anyway. Bilbo Swaggins had asked, have any casters recently played Resident Evil 2 Remake yet? If so, what are your first impressions? How far did you get so far, and which campaign did you choose to go with first? I've been really enjoying it.
Cool.
Leon,
so you sounds like a win all around.
You said there are two characters that you play?
Claire and
Redfield. Is that what he means by campaign?
There's two story arches. So you
don't play one or the other. You just choose one to play first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Cool. Which they've done in other Resident Evil games, right?
I don't remember. I feel like when I first played Resident Evil 2, I don't remember choosing two story arcs. I think
no, I don't think they did.
Different, yeah, I think different points of the story, you had to become Claire in order to unlock different stories. Mm. So, yeah, it's different. I didn't expect that, honestly, the two different arcs.
I like to give my Netflix recommendations. I really like stand-up comedy, so I started watching Comedians of the World.
Comedians?
Yeah. So Edinburgh does a... is it Edinburgh? No, that's over in Scotland, right? Or is there... Anyway, there's a comedy convention in Canada every year. And I've heard comics talk about it on podcasts many times. And now they're filming it and they're putting it out there. So this is a collection of like maybe 7 or 8 one-hour specials. Or some of them are half hour. I would say 80% of them are fucking killer. Really good shit. So check it out if you like stand-up comedy.
I love stand-up comedy, and I try to go to as many shows as possible. Did I talk about
at
all
one.
That I saw? I think I told you I went to go see Sean Wayans.
No.
You didn't? Mm-mm. I didn't talk about going to see Sean Wayans.
I don't think so.
I saw him. Yeah, I saw him here in San Diego at the American Comedy Club.
Oh, cool!
Amazing.
I like
show.
That. I like that venue too.
Yeah, I showed up 20 minutes early, but the show was running a half, like 45 minutes late, and I was at the very end of what seemed like a 150 count line. Mm. The venue is small; it can maybe hold up to 150 people.
Yeah, 150
at most.
Probably. Most
and very.
You been there, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For what?
I've seen a bunch of comedians, also been to some podcast recordings there.
Okay.
I've been to open mic nights.
Yeah.
A friend of mine used to do those.
All comedians say that the best thing that you could have is low ceilings. I guess I don't know why. Maybe because the laugh reverberates.
Oh.
I'm guessing.
A really good, strong front row.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
I somehow got front row to Sean Wayans, and it turned out to be amazing because last in line, and when I got up to the front, it turned out I had bought tickets for the wrong day. And I was shooting myself in the like in the foot. I was just, oh my gosh, I just stood out in the cold for, you know, almost an hour.
How did you get in the front?
So we were waiting outside with just another group of people. Like four people were just waiting to see if there were any open seats.
Yeah.
Because it was a sold out show.
Yeah.
And it was already running late enough as it is because it was such a good show. And then finally, we were the last two to get in. So they came out after 30 minutes after it kind of started.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, we can fit two more in. And when the four more in, and we were the last four people standing outside. And when we went in, the first two people in front of us went, you could sit in the front or you could sit in the back. They had the choice.
Yeah.
They had the Bandersnatch, and they chose to sit in the back. And so we were defaulted to the front. And I was like, okay, cool. I wanted a front row seat.
Yeah.
Little did I know, it was literally VIP front row seat.
Dang.
Yeah, so right there in the front, and I was actually heckled. So we came in late, and sitting down, we were called out by, I forgot his
opener.
Yeah, his opener. I forgot his name. I think it's something.
Or his middle.
He had something to do with like a wheelchair or something, even though he could stand on his own 2 feet. Crazy.
Prop comic or something?
I don't know.
She says so many things I don't understand.
Yeah.
he did things with wheelchairs, but he could walk.
Are you sure I didn't tell this story? I feel like I told this story.
No.
I tell a lot of stories because I'm a bartender. But yeah, so we were heckled. And he would not leave us alone, but, you know.
That's what happens when you sit in the front row. I never sit in the front row. You're going to get crowd worked if you sit in the front row.
I like it.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was the first time I've ever been heckled. And when Sean Wayans came out, it wasn't slap the knee funny. It was slap the wall funny. I was laughing so hard. I was slapping the wall next. I was falling over and slapping the wall to keep myself
up. That's awesome.
So it was.
If you guys have never seen stand up live, it's so much better because it's kind of like a communal thing. It's not just if you're watching at home, you're watching jokes and you're like, ha ha. But then if you're watching it with a group, there's that whole group thing going on, that like crowd mental connection thing. So we're like, you know, the whole thing where like schools of fish all move together is the same thing with audiences. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times a laugh will roll through a crowd. It's like, and you can see it just move through a crowd. It's really, really cool. Anyways, let's keep moving.
All right, time for news. Let's talk a little news here. First up, Overwatch's price has been quietly halved. So they didn't make any announcements about this. They just cut the cost of Overwatch. So let's see. The new prices are, oh my God, these are in, okay, $40 since launch. So it's now $20 for the base version. Or,
by the way, a steal for $20. Yeah. For the production value you're getting, and if you don't own it, that's a steal. Mm-hmm.
The Legendary Edition is now $40.
What do you get with Legendary Edition?
A bunch of other cosmetic items in other Blizzard games, and I don't know if you get anything extra in... I don't know. I got that version.
Montreal. Thank you, dude. Thank you. It's, Montreal Comedy Festival. Hmm. And Polo just subscribed. After this shit show, dude, thank you very much.
Let's see. What do you get in the Legendary Edition? 5 epic and 5... Okay, so you get some skins.
Seems might be worth it. Those fucking legendary skins are dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
There's a lot of good skins, though. There's so many of them now. So, yeah, they cut the cost on that. I think at some point, they'll have to go free-to-play. Could be 5 years down the line, could be 10 years down the line, but at some point they're going to have to go free to play. But $20 is a really good price.
That's a really good price, but I feel like they could almost go free to play now. They just eliminated their HOTS competitive scene. Why not make Overwatch free to play? Bring over their HOTS fan base if there's...
I don't think that's a big number of people.
And then from
you mean Bobby? Going,
and then from going free to play, build upon their competitive scene even more so. because I have zero interest in Overwatch at this point now.
But who doesn't own Overwatch really these days? Like, who do we know that doesn't own?
There's a few. Yeah. I would say, like,
there's like four guys out there
in our
community that don't have that game. But yeah, so I think everyone's pretty much got it at this point. I think
they can monetize more from making a larger competitive scene than whatever dollar amount, because like you said, how many people already own the game.
I think they're monetizing just fine on that game, though.
You think so?
I mean, they're making money off the sale of the game. They're making money off of, like, loot boxes if you choose to buy those. And then, like, whatever, like, Twitch buy-in they have with the competitive scene. Like, you buy the bits, and then you cheer, and you get stuff from that. So, yeah, they're making a ton of money off that. But it's just a matter of saturation. Like, they're like, okay, so who doesn't have the game yet? So let's lower the price. We'll get all those people in. And then by the time they go free to play, it's like, okay, now nobody has an excuse. But I feel
it's time for Russians.
I don't know if the game's too big in Russia. But
Big until it's free.
Here's the thing. I feel like Overwatch's potential clientele, is that the right word? Audience, gamer. Sure.
Uh-huh. Target audience
are Fortnite fucking players. All these dudes that are kids and family members, grandma.
That's who they
grandma.
Wanted. Obviously, yeah. Overwatch wanted to be Fortnite before.
Because it's so cartoony.
Out.
Exactly. Like all of these. Cartoony. All of these people that are suddenly gamers because of Fortnite now and enjoying a game that they can play alongside someone who isn't a gamer, or the epitome of the casual gamer. They need more than just Fortnite sometimes. So why not make Overwatch free to play and just like,
because they have,
'cause that would easily translate.
Accountants and people that went to Harvard making these decisions. I'm not saying you're wrong at
all. The epitome?
I think she meant epitome.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what I said. Emily made me a really strong drink.
Yeah, she's had one drink, guys, in case you were wondering what's happening.
And zero food.
You can put a lot in one drink, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Fortnite is the game that everybody's competing with right now. That's taken a large cut out of everybody's game.
Out of
so
gaming.
Yeah, just out of gaming in general. So that kind of ties in with this other article here. PUBG Lite is a free low-spec version of PUBG that's now in beta testing. So this is a new version of PUBG, which seems like a weird route to go.
But I'm thinking only reason I'm thinking this might be a good move is because how well the mobile version did. It got a reward for like best mobile game.
Yeah.
And so like,
well, I think it's in direct competition with Fortnite because Fortnite's free to play. That's like a huge thing for that game.
And so, not just that, but like, you know, when we always compare League of Legends to, not HOTS, but the other one, Dota, League of Legends had such a low, minimum spec level originally, like you could run that shit on a whatever, right? Some shit on Zimbabwe. And that's why they had their player count so high. 'Cause almost anybody can run it. And, this is going to double their player count, you know? But I don't know if low-res people can play regular-res people.
God, did I tell you, after playing other MOBAs, I really appreciate the way that HOTS looks. Like, Dota, it's not about graphics, right? Like, who really cares? Yeah. But the graphics on Dota are so bad. Like, when they show the character selection screen and you see, like, the character model up close, you're like, holy shit, dude. Like this looks like 2004 graphics.
Do you really want to be bashing on Dota 2? After what happened with the hot scene?
On Dota. Oh, I can talk plenty of shit about Dota.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Are you playing MOBAs right now, Bobby?
Not really.
Why haven't you converted yet, Bobby?
To what? Dota or League? I play League over Dota. I just don't like Dota. But I don't know. It's just, it's too much to get into. It's too much to learn. I don't know if I really want to do all that.
Nobody's talking about my point.
What's the point?
That, like, Their player base is going to shoot through the roof if they get lower, like all of Brazil, all of like, you know, the places where their computers are not as strong.
See, I read this article and I'm like, this is what PUBG should have done from the get go, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they made a ton of money selling it at $40 a piece, and there was no Fortnite to compete with them. So yeah, but I mean, it probably worked out either way. But
Wasn't it 20 from day one?
No, I thought it was $40.
Oh, you might be right.
I'm pretty sure 30 or $40. Maybe it was 30. Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't 20. But I don't know if it's too little too late releasing a free version that'll run on a toaster, but it's probably a smart move because you got to compete with Fortnite.
I'm only basing it off their mobile. They crushed it on the mobile. They're obviously making a ton of money. They're like, okay, if people can play on their phones, let's make it so they can play on their tablets.
That's cool.
I think that's what just happened.
As a more... I feel like as a tenured PUBG player, though, and all of us virtually are, this can go two ways. First off, the way I think about it, when you say this appeals to the Brazilian market, this appeals to the low budget, they say the low, like low spec, sorry, low spec market. Yeah. Do I really want to play against
those
type of players?
Nobody wants to say brown people.
No, not that. Emilio, don't put words in my mouth. But
for all the shadow masters out there.
Coming from Dota 2, where that is the toxicity behind that, like the blatant racism and and you know conflicts in terms of
but paying
and everything else.
What if full blown PUBG players? They're not going to be able to tell the difference if it's a low spec.
Well, see, when I say two ways, I say A, it might be toxic, it might be annoying, or B, it might just be feel like a pub stomp in terms of like you're a higher. I mean, you're obviously people who are getting into PUBG via PUBG Lite maybe haven't played PUBG at all. Period. So you're going in there and you're just fucking rolling. You know, what's the word? Rolling.
That's
steam.
Always fun.
Yeah, but then that would be not as fun for the newbies.
That's true.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So I almost see like the Dota 2.
I see what you're saying.
The Dota 2 curve rolling out with this version. But that's only speculation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see after it comes out.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you know, another thing that Fortnite's got going for it is the dances, too. So I don't
damn,
know.
That shit's blowing up, dude.
Yeah.
Steamrolling. Sorry. Thank you, Cricket.
Every kid knows all the fucking dances. Mm-hmm. Did you see the most recent viral video where the black kid and the white kid go face to face?
Yeah, I don't care.
It was awesome because the white kid's super fat and he didn't have the dances down, but he did it better. Like this is on like when you're at a venue like a fucking baseball game and they zoom in the dance cam and then they just did a battle between this fat kid and this black kid. But the black kid was way too serious. He's like doing everything perfect, but he's like,
yeah,
like, yeah. Did you guys see this?
No,
it's really good.
Anyway. So if you could replace these two kids with actual celebrities, who would you?
It would have been like, who's the short one that almost did the Oscars? Black guy?
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Kevin Hart and Chris Farley. That's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very akin to Chris Farley doing the Chippendales episode. Mm-hmm. It was just like that. Like
he's hilarious, too.
Definitely not as sexy, but somehow won him over.
Okay, what else we got here? Oh, this was mentioned by Jens. Farming simulator goes esports with a 250,000. Is that euro? 250,000 euro pro league.
Yes.
This blows my mind.
Yeah, I know. Me too. So they're doing like 3v3 tournaments where I guess whoever can make the most raspberries in half an hour. I've literally no idea. What I did enjoy was, if you scroll down a little bit, Bobby, if this was, yeah, okay. I like to poke fun. This is from PC Gamer. I like to poke fun at the Farming Simulator games from now on, mainly so I can excuse to link this, and we've linked this before. This it's called Farming Simulator Mad Skills No Plow 360 Crop Rotation.
Yeah,
we played it before, but
yeah, we played it before. Definitely check that out.
It's trying to make it like.
See who wrote this, cool. Andy Chalk. Okay,
yeah.
So I was reading this article, and it looks like it's almost like a rodeo. Like they pick certain events that people compete in, and this is the largest prize pool that they've ever had. But there have been tournaments before, so you can go online and look on this. I mean, I guess you can make an esport out of anything, right?
Well, I'm surprised that the prize pool is money and not somebody's daughter and or the fattest pig on the fucking farm. Because if you really want to simulate that farm
the blue
life,
ribbon. You get the blue ribbon pig. You made the fattest squash, we give you the fattest daughter.
How good is that apple pie?
Yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? That's so funny, G.
Do you guys ever see the competitions at the, it's not the Del Mar Fair anymore. What is it? The San Diego County Fair, I guess they call it now.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if you guys go every year, but
almost every year. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. They have competitions as well over there. Have you guys ever watched any of those?
No.
Okay.
What kind of comps? Like axe throwing? No. Did I tell you I went axe throwing, guys?
Are you the one that killed it on the first throw?
Dude, I didn't tell anyone that I was an axe thrower.
No.
Yeah.
Are you good at it?
I'm actually decent. Okay. Damn. Sorry, intercepted, literally, with an axe here. You said competitions at the county fair.
Mm-hmm.
I went axe throwing. There are axe throwing venues out here in San Diego. I'm not sure if you ever noticed them.
No.
First time I've ever heard of axe throwing was at my bar, and it was on TV. So it's actually a major league sport.
Sure.
It's
like a darts. Sport.
Yeah, like darts.
Yeah.
And it's axe throwing, and I was watching it on TV. I was like, no way. Well, this is more, it's like more or less darts with axes.
Yeah.
And it's very common in, I guess, rural areas, like such as Minnesota, you know.
Minnesota. Like
to all the Paul Bunyans out there. So it was a fireman's axe. There were two different axes. One was a more,
like a hatchet.
Smaller. Yeah, like a hatchet. And then the other one was kind of cool. It had like an arch back, and it had a heavy, head blade. And that was my favorite. I actually liked the bigger head.
And the curved shaft.
When you go in, it was $20 for an hour. And so when you go in, you get a, they teach you how to throw the axe, and they give you the different rules, but it's so much fucking fun.
Yeah.
I felt like Kratos.
Hey, by the way, you've been doing a lot of like going out and doing things lately.
Like real life nerdy
cool.
shit. Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's fun when I have somebody that's.
You literally went to stand up. You went to, did you say museums? You went to axe throwing. You went to like.
The Land Center.
Yeah. Like you're doing shit. It's cool.
Yeah. It is kind of cool. But anyways, but I was like dual wielding, throwing axes.
Dual wielding?
It was a lot of fun.
You threw two at the same time?
Yeah, they let me dual wield. It was so fucking cool.
Did you land?
Yeah. Most of the times I would hit close to the target.
No, the dual wield. Did you hit the target?
With dual wielding, it's really hard to hit bullseye.
Yeah.
Super impossible, almost, it seems like. But if you can actually dual wield throw and make it stick to the wood... fucking awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you guys didn't know, it's like bowling but with axes.
That sounds cool. I like it.
Go do it. Sam and you would love it. It's a good way to get rid of some pent up frustration. And then we were what was it called? We were making bets.
Thanks, Frick.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Frickin' Thompson.
Kingdom Hearts 3 hype, yes. But that's console gaming.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that dirty stuff.
All right, next up, Cyberpunk 2077 head writer joins Blizzard. So
is this going to affect the final product on 2077?
I don't know. That's the only bit of information. They didn't say where he was going, what project he was working on. So we really don't know. Other than this guy had been working at CD Projekt Red since 2006, I think.
You know, he did The Witcher 3, too. He was a head writer on Witcher 3. And right now, I'm in love with the writing of Witcher 3. So,
can he please just make the next World of Warcraft that isn't World of Warcraft? That's what I'm...
It's not going to happen.
I'm so desperate
They're not going to invest in another...
Before MMO. I die, I just want to be addicted to another MMO again. Please.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Please.
They've been trying that for 10 years.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what this happens. I assume he's coming on to work on a new project, and that might be a bit of a hint. Like, okay, whatever new game they have coming out is going to have a lot of story in it. Like, they need a writer. I don't know. But you could speculate. But
Bobby, I think you're focusing on the Blizzard side. I'm talking about the loss from CD Projekt Red. That's what I'm interested in. Like, fuck.
Yeah, well.
Like, weren't we... I think we all were looking forward to 2077.
It's mm-hmm. like the snow is whiter on the Blizzard side of things.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they've already written written most of that game.
Hopefully. I'm just hoping this wasn't the heart and soul of CG Projekt Red that they ripped out. Poached is what they call it.
Yeah.
Just an email. Just like, hey, are you happy with not having a jet? A G5?
You know? It's an old plane. Aren't they up to like, what, G7 now?
Bobby, I'm trying to make a point.
All right, what else we got here? Oh, new Doom movie is delayed to enhance hell sequence CGI. So this is an article on Screen Rant. I had talked about this a couple of weeks ago. They're working on a new Doom movie, and from everything that I had read on this, it didn't sound that great. It's directed DVD. It's being produced by Universal. And every time people have asked the director on Twitter, like, is it going to have this? Is it going to have that? He's been saying no. So I don't know. The
rewrites
doesn't sound like, I mean, they're all past like filming and everything. They're in post now, apparently, but looks like they weren't happy with the hell sequence. So we know it's going to have that, right? Which it couldn't, you couldn't have a Doom movie without a hell sequence, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Hazel, for the Prime.
Oh, nice. We got another one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, fuck.
We should do something, you know, almost like a team call for subs. Like, just random.
Whoa, DL Gaming!
Just about. We'll work on it. We'll work on it, guys. Okay. It's like when in high school, in volleyball, if you got an ace, you do like some ace or group something
kiss?
Like that. Yeah. What?
Yes.
What?
What?
What? It's like a chant, basically.
I gotcha. Mm. Okay.
So, not a lot of details on this movie. They say the lead character's name is Joan Dark. I don't know how I feel about that. Hmm. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to watch this 100%. It's kind of like Star Wars. It's like any Doom content, like I'll probably eat up, right? But I don't expect too much out of it.
Was that her name? Is that really? Are you just throwing that out there, Kurt? Is Joan Dark from Perfect Dark? Anyway, keep going. I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like Joan of Arc, kind of reference to that, but I don't know. But that just seems real edgy, I guess. I don't know. Last name's Dark.
All right.
And then somebody put, what the fuck is ASMR?
Do you guys know? I know what it is now. Do you guys know what it is?
Yep. Knew what it was 6 years ago. You just found out about ASMR?
Just found out about it, but for the last 2 months, I've noticed that like things are tagged with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a Steam, or they have a Twitch category for it.
Oh, really?
People do it live now. Yeah, it's gotten very popular.
ASMR is for fucking perverts.
I don't think so.
No, it's not a sexual.
Sexual.
I don't fucking get it.
So apparently, ASMR means like if you get a physical sensation when you see something that triggers that physical sensation.
It's like if you like Q-tips that look like little dicks. That's what ASMR is.
That's actually a pretty good thing. So when I clean my ears with Q-tips, sometimes I get a tingle all the way down my back.
I do too, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of
how far are you guys sticking this in your ear?
Yeah, I'm
Q-tips
my
are
brain.
Actually they. There's some sensation that you get from cleaning out your ears.
So
for
satisfying.
Me, it's not so much down my back, but more around my armpit area.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's called tickling, G.
No. Like when you, somebody else must feel it in their armpits like me. Bobby, there's got to be some type of like off-sensory area that your body, come on, Bobby, let's get.
He's a robot, G.
Maybe I feel it in my sinuses. I don't know. But it's actually
literally
bad.
I thought he was going to say batteries.
It's actually bad to clean your ears with Q-tips, they say.
Yeah.
I still do it, but
it's bad to waste your time.
Way to suck the fun out of everything, Bobby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's new to me. I didn't know what it was. Yeah, it's just, a mental trigger that that reacts physically.
It's,
and anything can trigger it out. So anytime you find something amazingly satisfying, your DNA has like a trigger to make you want to do that more. And so you're basically hacking past all the whatever it was that makes it happen. And it could be anything. It could be chicks rubbing balloons. It could be guys opening jars of cookies. It could be anything.
It could be me sticking a microphone in my fucking toilet and watching and
anything.
I fucking don't like ASMR. Like last time somebody asked me on my stream if I do ASMR, I'm like, what do you want, a shouting match? Really? But, like, that's what ASMR acronym like, but gee,
if you let's say this, say I made a YouTube channel that made you have the feeling of cleaning your ear with a Q-tip. I just said popcorn, and every time I said popcorn, you got that shiver down your spine. Would you not subscribe to my channel?
I would not give it the time of the day initially. It's just so no, you wouldn't.
But by somehow you found it.
It's like that'd be your jam. I could potentially have ADHD, but will I go see a therapist to find out? No, it's like one of those like thresholds of disinterest before like actually. You know,
we're all as confused as you guys are.
ASMR is not meant for I think ASMR is not for everyone, and this is definitely not for me. Like, when I look up ASMR on Twitch, all I see is fucking cleavage and an easy way for girls to get extra attention without actually being entertaining. Some like, spite. Listening to them, like...
right.
That's not fucking entertaining to me.
You just triggered me, like, by the
it's
way.
Not...
If you could do that for the rest of the show... I gotta go change my shorts. Let's move on.
All right, let's talk about some hardware.
I could probably do a hot sauce ASMR.
Game Glass for Star Citizen is some way to put extra panels on a tablet. So if you have a tablet on the side of your computer, you can put additional things. That's like what people are running Star Citizen on. What are you looking at?
Hey, that's right what now. We have. That's our, what is that? Elgato Stream Deck.
Oh, yeah.
It's got two of those.
He put this all that together and two joysticks and like a thruster module. Like, he's all in. But on the side of all of this, this is not what we're talking about. On the he runs a tablet, and on the tablet, he puts some buttons. And so there it is. So this is on the side of his rig. Homie wants to be in a fucking spaceship. He's trying to do it as much as possible, and tablets are helping him get there. So you could imagine if you're in a spaceship, you're pushing mm-hmm. virtual buttons as you.
So it's like he's got a little panel just sitting in front of him. Mm-hmm. Okay, we can see exactly. it here. So the software is called Game Glass that right. he's using. Mm-hmm. Or it's an app on an iPad.
I think he's producing it himself, and I don't think it's ready. But yeah, okay. This is where we're going. Yeah, and he's always he's talking about haptic feedback. Guys, people have so much on Star Citizen. Where do you guys land on it? Me, I am neutral. I don't know if it's going to succeed. I don't know if it's going to promise.
But I'm tired of the speculation, man. I feel like we've been asking ourselves, you know, what is Star Citizen going to be the next big thing? We've been asking ourselves for that, at least three years.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it is, then great, but I'm not really going to like sit around and speculate.
Gee, that might be your MMO that you're thinking about.
Star Citizen?
Yeah, might be. It's the only chance for a giant MMO.
It seems, I don't know, I wouldn't call it an MMO. It almost seems like the Oasis from...
Is it...
What's that? Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Like, it's Second Life, but with way better graphics.
Yeah, when you say that, is it more like... Then maybe it's a better Eve online.
I think you can do whatever you want.
I'm not into Star Citizen.
You can do whatever you want, though. You could be a starfighter. You could be a first-person shooter. You could be a explorer. You could... Basically, it's a second life, like Bobby was saying.
Oh.
It's like a life in space.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it's not out yet. And people have put hundreds of thousands of dollars into it. Is this a good time to go pee?
Maybe let's... No, you're going to talk about the Google Home Hub.
Yeah, I bought it for Roberta. So Roberta, which is Sam's mom, has whatever she wants. She has disposable income, so it's very hard to buy things for her. So Christmas, I decided to buy her something new, something that didn't exist before. She already liked the Google Home, the Mini. That we had in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'll just upgrade that because she's big on cooking. And this is very good for, basically it's a Google Home, but it has a screen, high quality. When you're not interacting with it, it shows your most recent, pictures, like kind of like one of those, what are those called?
Those digital, frames. Picture frames.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Digital picture frames. That's what it does on when it's just sitting around. Also, it'll show you, like, what do you have in your calendar and stuff like that. She doesn't use any of that because it's set up on my phone. I definitely had to turn off my pictures right away so that none of my dick pics come out on there, but I did that. And she is fucking loving it. She liked it so much. She's buying a 2-pack that they sell at Costco for $179. So you get them for less than you can get them from the Google store at Costco.
Is it more or less a Alexa with a screen?
With a screen, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the screen, it looked like it was showing YouTube videos. It shows the weather. It shows search results.
Yeah. And so you can be like, instead of, so back before, we would be like, play Shakira. Now it's play Shakira videos on YouTube. And we're watching the videos. And there's no commercials for some reason. And it's just very nice. And then anytime you ask a question, you know, having visual results always works better. Even if it's a math question. If 2 + 2 = 4 and you're looking at the equation and it's right there, mm-hmm. it just makes more sense mm-hmm. in your head if you look at it.
Oh, it's like watching porn while cooking. Food porn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, yeah. Oh, and if you do like a recipe, so it'll be like add 2 tablespoons of this. And then when you're done, you mm-hmm. go next. You say next, and it just goes to the next page.
Show me
step
eggplant.
By step.
Yeah. More eggplant. Yeah. Bigger eggplant.
The giantest eggplant.
So it's on sale for $100 right now in the Google store.
Yeah, it's $50 off right now. Hmm. So it's a steal. But there's always this whole thing of like, do you care that your information is being sold? That's how they make these things so cheap. I saw a 42-inch 4K TV by Toshiba with Fire built in, Fire Stick, for $200, brand new.
Because of Google tracking?
Yeah, not Google tracking, but because Amazon tracking. Yeah,
Amazon tracking, okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you, I'm going to throw this out there, never realized this really existed. If you want a no tracking browser, DuckDuckGo. Like instead of DuckDuckGoose.
Yeah, no, I get it. But what's it do?
It's a web browser that doesn't track you at all. So there's so it's not Chrome or any other browser that you wouldn't want to be using anyways.
People are all over the place. Some people are super private. They shut all that stuff down. They don't even use, like Mini didn't want to install Google Windows 10 because of this.
No one wants to know his dark, sick, twisted.
Yeah. I'm on the way the other side. If I'm going to, listen, search. You cannot get away from ads. If I'm going to watch ads, I want them to be pertinent to what I do and what I'm interested in. That's mm-hmm. the way I look at it. It's not, they're not trying to fuck you. They're not trying to rape you. They're trying to sell you things. Yeah.
They're trying to sell you stuff.
And I'd rather see stuff that I want. Yeah. Mm. Can I go pee now?
Yeah.
Anyway, recommendation on the hub. There.
All right. Time for listener questions.
Let's start with cons.
Cons, all right. Whatever happened to Bobby's call-in idea? That's what I'm wondering. So I brought it up before where I said, you know, we have the technology. We could be on Discord and have people pop into the show, say a few things, and then get abruptly hung up on. I guess we need some sort of format. So I'm going to throw this out there. I'm going to put it on you guys. When you submit listener questions, how about some viewer questions? What are some questions that we can ask our listeners live during the show on Discord?
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. I'd like to do that. I know, like, periodically during shows, like, there have been times where I've, like
a listener spotlight. But
like an impromptu. Well, you know, we're talking about something, and someone in chat has been like, oh, well, I know everything about this game. It's like, well, why don't we just put him on Discord and have him explain it a little bit to us? So, I don't know. I'm open to that, but I also like the idea of just having some questions for our listeners out there. Whoever may be hanging out at the time of recording.
Yeah, I like that too. I feel like we can definitely have more of a listener spotlight, but instead of it being a pre-recorded, full-fledged interview, we can easily just set aside, 5, 10, 15 minutes, maybe at the end of the show, to just, you know, highlight our audience. It'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. They're savages. They're going to get 2 minutes at tops. Move it on.
There you go.
All right. So Hinks asks, so guys, now that Minnie is gone, what do you regret not saying to his face?
That I love him.
Really? Mm-hmm.
No.
Do you miss him more now that he's gone? Because you know that how they say absence makes the heart grow fonder or something like that.
Sure.
But they also say familiarity breeds contempt, so... I don't know.
It really sucks that nobody laughs at my jokes anymore.
Have you been
mm-hmm.
throwing jokes out there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly my point.
All right, Dofo asks.
Well, you guys didn't answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've said everything I wanted to.
So. Bobby is such a man of few words, you know, so. Yeah, for me, I guess Minnie would actually be interested in what I would have to say.
Oh, he's interested.
To him. But I feel like anything I wanted to say to him, I would say in his face anyways. Like, I think I said too much in his face that it bothered him.
Yeah.
So I would say, hey, Minnie, grow a pair. Oh, wait, too late.
Oh, because he only has one nut. Moving on.
But a bump.
All right, Dofo says, even though Bethesda officially debunked the rumors of Fallout 76 going free-to-play this week, do you think it would have been a good move for them to had actually made it gone free-to-play?
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah, that keeps coming up, this whole free-to-play idea. I don't think now is the time for it to go to free-to-play, definitely. Maybe at some point, I think it'll have to, just to keep a player base up, but not right now.
For this game, I don't know, at least for a weekend. It would be good.
Yeah, free-to-play weekend would be a good move.
Because there's so many questions around this game. A lot of people don't know what it is, even still. I've played it. I'm kind of curious what it is. It's something new. So, I think a month would be good for them.
I think it would focus more on a huge update before worrying about making it free-to-play. Because have enough content to grasp and retain those that consumer base. Like, you can't make it free-to-play for them to perpetually shit on it some more. Like, they already have...
Did you guys hear about the people that found a developer room? Like, a room that the developers test things in? They went in there and fucked around, and they got banned for going in there.
Oh, no way.
I don't know what they did to get in there. Maybe they did some coding or whatever, but yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
It was interesting.
All right. JP Diddy says, you get to work directly with members from any one game dev studio this year. Which studio do each of you choose and why?
I would go with BioWare to make sure they don't fuck Anthem up. Yeah, because I know what's going on. Yep. I have my finger on the pulse, you asshole.
The shots.
The one time I'm not making a joke, he laughs. That's where we're at.
You guys can probably literally take the words out of my mouth. It's so obvious.
Yeah, BioWare too?
No.
Oh.
Valve. And Left 4 Dead 3 or Riot. That's all I have to say.
Think they got a lot of work to do on that one.
Exactly.
I would say developer, huh? I don't know. I'm actually coughing.
We're not
That's
Blizzard.
Not for dramatic effect. Who cares about Blizzard anymore? I don't know. I would just... I don't know. I always talk about Ace Team, and I wonder what they're up to right now, if they're working on another game. I don't know. They haven't really talked about anything.
Rock of Ages 3.
Yeah.
Why not Rockstar? That would be so much fucking fun, right? Can you
Apparently,
imagine how
they have
much
one
fun?
Of the most stressful, right, Bobby? They have a really stressful place to work at.
Really?
Yeah.
There's been with every big developer, though, you always hear the horror stories from people who had worked for them. But
it seems like anything they release is almost a surefire, though.
Yeah. Somebody's doing something right over there.
They do make an awful lot of money.
They do. And good games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got some good games. All right, Fastidious, directed towards Emilio, what are the team's thoughts on the state of Blizzard now and looking into the future? Hey, we've talked a lot about this, about how we feel about Blizzard. Yeah. I know I have.
I had a new thought just right now. Does it really matter who they're coming from as long as good games keep coming out? Like, let's just say 20 very good games come out every year. Does it really matter what company it's from to us, the consumers? Yeah, there is some brand loyalty, and you like to root for the home team or be a whatever fanboy, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be playing the best shit that came out that year. It doesn't matter who it's from.
Mm-hmm. But Blizzard is so huge.
It doesn't matter.
Well, Blizzard has their own convention.
Who cares?
And they've been such a huge... They've been the giant in the development community.
And now that they're dropping the ball. Agreed? Maybe?
Hasn't been looking good for them.
I feel like Blizzard, it's almost like a gamer religion. You have to count on them to be consistent and to output the very best of what's what's possible, like what could be conceived out there for the, for you to keep faith in what video gaming can be. Because as many shit indie games get thrown out there, not like not all of them are worth playing.
No, for sure.
You know, like you gotta look up to something. You gotta. I feel
do you?
Like,
well,
I don't think you do. Okay, this is what it comes down to. Let's say that Blizzard put out two games next year. Well, one game. Steam puts out a game this year. Mm-hmm. They did. They put out Artifact. Everybody puts out one game. What are you going to be playing? Are you going to be playing the not as good game from Blizzard? Or are you going to be playing the clearly better game? Let's just say it's Atomic Heart. Let's just say Atomic Heart is the best game.
High hopes.
Let's just say it is. We're going to be playing that if it's the best game this year.
Yeah. I don't think brand loyalty... It exists in gamers, but...
It's falling apart. If anybody had it, it was Blizzard. And they still do, I'm sure.
It's more of... It really depends on the game, but I think there are a lot of games out there, especially like MOBAs, where you get so invested and you learn so much about them that to switch to another one means relearning so much information and that you already know for the other game that it makes it difficult. And I wouldn't call that brand loyalty, though. I mean, there was a time where, yeah, I really did like Blizzard, and I am very much looking forward to Warcraft 3 Reforged. Like, I've already bought that, and I cannot wait to play that. I'm almost playing the original Warcraft 3 just because I can't wait to play that, Reforged.
Is there a release date?
No, 2019. Mm. Yeah, WoW Classic, they said summer 2019. Reforged, I don't think they have a specific month.
So less than 11 months.
It's so funny that you're saying that because it's the same vocabulary for Resident Evil. It's just a different game name.
Like, you know, that's a franchise or a series of games. Yeah. And, you know, those carry with it a lot of... there's a lot of levity to a game. Like, if it's a Resident Evil game, then you kind of know what you're getting into. If it's a Metal Gear Solid game, well, maybe not for all of them, but like you know what you're getting into, and you know it carries some weight with it. And I think that's what they use a lot when they're marketing these games. They're like, hey, it's a Blizzard game. You know, we know it's going to be a certain level of quality, or it's going to be
the production value you can trust on.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if it's a Rockstar game.
Damn, but it's fucking Campfire Donut.
Is it kind of like the Patriots of the gaming industry?
It doesn't matter. Jeez, is what I'm trying to say, because this is the way I'm saying it.
But so, your faith in a game company can be quickly dissolved.
Yeah,
like very, very quickly.
I believe that Bobby's allegiance to Blizzard was not to Blizzard so much as it was the core original group of guys, and those guys are starting to leave, and like business people are starting to move in. And so what are you exactly allied to? Are you allied to
the quality and the material? And of course,
is that still, and now is it deteriorating? If that deteriorates, then are you still loyal? And if you are still loyal, are you an idiot for sticking around after they start making whack shit? Mm-hmm. It's like, I kind of had this epiphany last year.
Would you buy stock in Blizzard right now?
No.
I mean, it is pretty low.
Answer the question.
It's probably the best time to buy stock.
No, that's on the contingent that they're going to do good later.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, okay, if they release anything, it'll sell. So I figure it's got to go up.
So buy some stock, Bobby.
I've never bought stock before. I don't. Real estate's a much better investment.
That's true.
I got my money tied up in other things anyway.
So I don't know if it was last year or the year before that, but at some point I was like, I don't care between part two and part three because they're different. It might have the same name and it might have the same developer, but the people that are making it are probably different people. Like the group is not the same people. So that's why I was like, I'm not that excited for blah, blah, blah three because who knows what you're going to get? It could be a pile of shit. So I'm starting to feel the same way on the macro scale with developers. Like, I'm going to play the best 10 games I can play this year.
Yeah. And it's not just the developers either, but like the landscape. I use that word a lot when describing gaming. The landscape of gaming changes drastically. Like, if Half-Life 3 came out in 2006, that'd be very different from Half-Life 3 coming out in 2019.
Right.
Like, there's no room for Half-Life 3 these days. It would be a disappointment no matter what they did with the game.
Doom 2017 did well.
Yeah, Doom 2016.
That would be the same genre.
Yeah, but that kind of... That's a little different, though.
A little bit.
So it went back to that fast-paced first-person shooter with the finishing moves, and it varied. I mean, Doom 3 did very well, but that was, like, completely different. So, you know, the Doom 2016 thing was, yeah, it was kind of like a return to form, this whole nostalgia thing coming in, the brand name of Doom as well. Yeah, that worked. But if Half-Life 3 came out, what we're all expecting is some closure on the story, and... I don't know how they do that at this point. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm writer, not. I mean, is out
he of still works there, right?
No.
No, he just left.
Yeah, he left a couple years ago.
Is that the guy that got accused of, like, trying to pick up underage kids on Counter-Strike?
I think that was a Counter-Strike person. That was separate. I think.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a story about that I remember, though.
What's the name again? Mark, the writer behind Half-Life. Mark Ronson? What's it? No.
He left, and then he made that thing.
Well, here's the thing about Half-Life. No, that's Jared from Subway. Yes, that was Jared.
No, Mark Ronson's freaking a musician. Who am I thinking of?
But the thing about Half-Life and Half-Life 2 is the J.J. Abrams mystery box. The reason that we're so hooked on that story is because we don't know what happens in that. For us, okay, so I have to do it. I'm going to bring up my Steven Spielberg unauthorized biography. So Close Encounters of the Third Kind came out in 77. Everybody wanted to know what the inside of the spaceship looked like when Richard Dreyfuss walks up in it at the end. Like, everybody wanted a sequel just so they could see what the inside of the spaceship is. So they're like, fuck it, we'll just make a new version of the movie and we'll show the inside of the spaceship.
And everybody was let down.
Everybody hated it. Yeah. The thing that you want the most and you envision in your head, like that, like if you actually get it and it's some, you see somebody's interpretation or rendition of it, you're going to be let down.
Wanting sells better than satisfaction. I think.
Yeah.
In the Bird Box, they thought that they were going to show the monsters, and then somebody's like, no, this is stupid. Let people's imaginations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the theater of the mind.
Yeah.
And that works really well with horror. Like if you have sound and darkness, like your brain fills in the gaps, and that's sometimes more terrifying than if they were to actually show it.
Of course.
So yeah, I don't know. I think Half-Life 3, I don't know, man. Wouldn't it be crazy if that game did come out though? It's just like Valve announces it like in a month now. They're just like, oh yeah, Half-Life 3 coming out.
Yeah. By the way, Mark Laidlaw, I apologize for forgetting his name.
The crazy thing here is the best part of podcasting was 3 hours in. So thanks for hanging out or 2 hours. Like this is the best part of the podcast, this last 15 minutes. We killed it on this last 15 minutes.
By the way, I have 5 minutes left. I got to get to work.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just about at the end here. Let's see. I think that is... Oh, one more question here. What from Curd the Ape, what is the most important release of 2019?
Anthem. And not because how good it looks or how much fun I'm having, because I feel like AAA has been fucking up lately.
Mm.
Like... A lot. I mean, Battlefield 5, I think, is a commercial success. Mm-hmm. But besides that, it's just like a lot of negativity, a lot of weirdness. We don't. They need the bankers, the investors, all these people. They need to know that they can put money, big money, into video games. And I think a game like Anthem can show whether it's a good investment or not. That's why I think it is. On a business side, I think it's a very important game.
I understand that. But for some reason, my expectations are still so low. And maybe that's me rolling over a lot of...
Destiny.
A lot of BioWare and Destiny put together.
Oh, I see.
Like their overall performances very recently.
Yeah.
And why it's better just to keep the expectations low.
Well, I'll tell you what. I never said Destiny was fun. This is really fun.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
I mean, for me.
As for me, I'm sorry I'm going to say this, but it's going to be a console title.
We'll see.
Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm excited for
it. Oh, for your answer. Gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's the most important release to you, I guess, is how we should be answering this question.
And I still haven't plugged in my PS4, but soon, very soon. I think February is going to be a really good month for me gaming-wise because I need it to be a focus. I feel like I've neglected my gamer side a little bit now. And and I have so many good things. Like, I want to revamp my stream. I want to plug in this PS4, see if I can even be a console streamer.
That's what I was going to ask you. What do you need? You need a game capture device?
Yeah.
Does that go inside or outside of your... I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure.
A magic...
Yeah, you can get a like an Elgato. It's like a device that's... So the HDMI cable comes out of your PlayStation, goes into the Elgato, and then another HDMI cable comes out of the Elgato and into the... TV, so you can see it, and then you got like a USB that goes to your computer.
Oh, okay.
And it runs the shit to there.
Okay. So I feel like February would be a good transformational period for me as a gamer, because I think this is going to be a good year for me to catch up with some major console titles, and then also, you know, what's the word? Putting, like, actually making it to the end on other titles like Divinity and all of that stuff too. Yeah. And I think I do need an overhaul in my stream, because my stream is just a fucking dirty hiatus stream. And plus, I'm literally having the best beginning impressions with Resident Evil 2. I can't wait to play through that title.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
Bobby, you can't say 2077.
Yeah, we don't know if that's going to be out in 2019, so I guess I'll go with Warcraft 3 Reforged. And I know, I mean, that's a sure bet. 2077, there's a small chance it could disappoint, or maybe I won't like it, but Warcraft 3 Reforged, like...
100%.
There's absolutely no way that game is a failure in my book.
Right, because the mechanics are the same. They're just making
graphics are updated. They've redone the voice acting, and I think it's going to bring back a lot of the PvP scene, which has survived since like 2004, whenever the game initially released.
Have they talked anything about new heroes?
No. I would be surprised if they did that, if they made that big of a change.
No, they should put Tracer in there.
Tracer?
That'll cover it. It'll check a lot of boxes.
I don't know.
All right. Let's wrap this bitch up.
Yep. What's everyone playing next week? I still want to play Oberdin. I didn't do that this week, I know, but like that's still at the top of my wish list right now. Maybe I'll wait to the Lunar Sale to see if it's on sale, but it's not even... I don't even care too much about the money right now.
I have documented proof that I asked Bobby to play video games with me every day this week, and he...
Every day?
Yeah, well,
every day.
I have texts and messages. I'm just saying that it exists.
Yeah, I wasn't home much this week.
And she twice. Sober then. G?
Resident Evil 2.
Cool.
Yeah, and I might not be in...
But you're
going to
be traveling.
Episode. Yeah.
Play a mobile game or something for the plane ticket.
Buy a
for
Switch.
Do you know who you're talking to?
Do you want my Switch?
Honestly, no, I don't think I need the Switch, but I did see somebody install an emulator and then... on their phone, and that might be fun.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. For like old Nintendo titles?
But no, I probably won't have time to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do mobile games. I really don't.
Okay. For me, it'll probably be The Witcher Blood and Wine, and I was going to say Anthem, but I can't. So, yeah. The Witcher Blood and Wine, and I'm going to try to kill Diablo for you guys on Book of Demons. It's probably not named that, but you know, we all know what we're talking about here. So speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself, ceviche titties. We're gonna go have some ceviche right now.
Woo. I thought you were gonna do an ASMR outro.
That triggered 17 people. Good that you're not leaving right now, guys.